Japan wasn't a great power like Germany. It wasn't a great power like the Soviet Union. We're making Iran a major power as we go forward. But this was the biggest one, much more difficult than Vietnam, much more difficult than Iraq, much more difficult than Afghanistan. And so the consequences of taking on that much more dangerous, difficult foe are going to be with us really significantly longer.
Robert Pape has been analyzing, tracking, running simulations on all of this. Literally, the final lesson that this guy has taught at college, at school for a very long time, for a period of years, has been, oh, what would a simulated, you know, attack on Iran look like?
We are in a wicked escalation trap. We're not just seeing escalation. We're seeing it grow horizontally, and we're seeing Iran now initiating attacks, not just on the receiving end. The United States started this war and is now in a strategically worse position and is trying to simply get back to even. This war has upended the balance of power in the region that existed before the war. Before the war, America was the ascendant power, Israel the rising power, and Iran the declining power. Now all of those lines are reversed. And Iran thinks it won the war and it should be in control of Hormuz and have large influence in the Persian Gulf and the Middle East it did not have before. The United States is trying to reverse its defeat and is not accepting the new status quo.
The history of us covering this Iran war and being against it, this whole conflict, is not some crackpot theory that we have about how this could potentially be bad. This is what all the experts have said, again, since before day one. You can go to college professors like Pape. You can go to analysts like Larry Johnson.
We don't have good intelligence, and we certainly don't have ground-penetrating radar that tells us how many missiles they've got stacked up in these tunnels and buried in these mountains. But I guarantee you that in addition to storing such missiles, they're also doing production of such missiles in these secure locations. So we don't have even a clue exactly how many they have.
You can go to literally everybody who commentates and talks about this in the online geopolitical space. This is not rocket science. Look at this. Trump's pattern of strategic defeat is only leading to more escalation, a world economic crisis, and more gains for Iran. This is the thing. The longer it lasts, the more concessions they're able to extract out of us. And the situation that Trump is in, it's very tough. He doesn't have the ability to extract concessions from the Iranians, but at the same time, he doesn't have the ability to extricate himself from the conflict, because if he does, Israel remains under threat because they're violating what Iran wants them to do by not invading Lebanon and not killing the rest of the Palestinians. You have to understand, this is all an ethno-supremacist war.
It sounds like you're saying one Jewish life mm-hmm. is worth hundreds or thousands of Palestinian lives.
Not a million. One Jewish life, it's 10 million, okay?
That just sounds racist.
Yes, I know. I know. But this is the truth. Because God chose us. Because of this, you are jealous.
And it's not our ethnicity. It's not white people. It's not black people. It's not Mexicans. That's not the problem. What's the quote from The Hobbit? There's no need for war between dwarves, elves, and men. A legion of orcs marches upon the mountain. Like, this is a real problem. We're fighting and dying in a war, an ethno-supremacist religious war, for people thousands of miles away that we're not related to and could care less about, that have no relation to the foundation or history of our new republic / empire here, the last 250 years of the United States. It's a ludicrous idea to think that you have to go fight and die or serve a state like this. And it's a ludicrous idea that any political candidate would come to you hat in hand and tell you you just have to be good and support them a little bit harder, and we're going to be able to get all this done. We're never going to be able to get any of it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with minbenazidil, both powerful really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this. But minbenzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776RX.health.
Welcome back to the War Room, covering all things foreign and domestic. I am your host today, Rex Jones, filling in for Harrison Smith. It's always a joy to be in here in studio with you guys. Really do appreciate you. If you were just watching on the network, I did an hour interview with the leading geopolitical analyst, strategist, writer, Brandon Weikert, who's been up on the Hill as a staffer before and many other things, written for a numerous amount of publications. And just continuing on the trend of what is happening in the Middle East, West Asia, and just the world war that's brewing slash already started right now, there is another peace deal purportedly on the table. Now, when I say peace deal, I don't mean a direct deal between the United States and Iran. Nothing is fleshed out yet. But Iran and Oman are currently in talks right now, like this moment, the second right now, to agree to one singular route that Iran and Oman will jointly manage, but Iran will really control. And to explain this to people, you have to explain how the MOU was initially violated, right? Because people just say, well, Trump said that Iran was, they were being bad and they violated the MOU. Here's what really happened, okay? We violated the MOU. There was something set up under paragraph 5 of the MOU that we agreed to called the Persian Gulf or the Persian Gulf Strait Authority. Or the PGSA, maybe I'm getting that acronym just a tiny bit wrong, right? Ships are supposed to talk to Iran, manage traffic with Iran, and then Iran, during that 60-day period, would not charge them fees and would just manage and direct them, right? We told ships via the British Maritime Authority to turn their transponders off and to go through the Omani route, a route not only unregistered but uncharted as well. So we're putting these ships at massive insurance risk. We're doing this, telling them to turn their transponders off, and we restart the war that way. Now, the United States would say, oh, no, paragraph 1, that's not a violation when Israel attacks Lebanon and occupies their land. Oh, no, paragraph 5, that's not a violation when we tell ships to turn their transponders off and to break the violate the agreement that we signed. Oh, no, it's not a violation when we say we're going to give you tariff relief and then you don't. So the reality is it was always going to be hashed out by the countries that are there, because no matter the insane, ludicrous, Mr. Toad-style wealth, shout out Wind of the Willows, that Trump has, that the U.S. has or had at one point, it's not enough. Even if you are like damn near close to a hegemon, which I think we still are, I think we've fallen off quite a bit, but I think we're still up there in superpower status, you can't project enough power to make it work. Look at Afghanistan. 20 years, people in like huts and Bedouin tribesmen and stuff destroyed us. Just simply by outlasting us. You ever watch one of these UFC fights and you see one of the guys and the guy is like, and you're like, that guy's going to destroy the other dude. And the other guy is just, I don't know, like a Mexican Edgar or something, right? Like a Nate Diaz or something. But oh, what happens when it's the third, fourth, and fifth round? What happens when the big guy is tired and the little guy still has all the energy in the world? That's basically the situation we've gotten ourselves in. In order to be the big guy in the situation, America relies on kind of like the Bane outfit, right? Bane's got that thing that makes him jacked. We got all the tax dollars. We got all the military industrial complex, the super weapons, the aircraft carriers, the F-35, like you name it, right? But ultimately, they don't need anything like that. They just live there. They just live on the ground where their parents died for like 1,000 years, right? So if you just live there, and you're going to die of old age or you're going to die fighting the Americans, it doesn't really matter to you because that's where you're going to die anyway. But for us, for American soldiers to be over there, ooh, it's cool, the fighter jet. Hell yeah, I got the Black Hawk helicopter. Hell yeah, brother. All that, the missile is also cool to be in the bases that get blown up. No, it's not. It's not cool at all. It's horrible. Americans don't want to die in the Middle East. And that's why we're doomed to lose these wars, because we shouldn't be fighting them. And that's overwhelmingly popular and positive with the American people. Over 2/3 of the American people are against this war. And I wish it was a lot more. And I wish the people that were against the war were a lot more vehement in the way that they stood against it. But it is what it is, and it's only growing. It's only getting stronger and stronger and stronger over time. And the reality is, domestically at home, we've heard a lot of talk about the SPR, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Famously, I think it was in June, during the G7 conference, where Trump came out and said, we only have 4 weeks left, we have to do something. And that's when the MOU got signed, right? So we have that whole situation. Hey, Unc, let's pick up the phone and call Unc. Let's call Unc. Hey, Unc, are we out of oil yet? You said we were going to be out of oil a while ago, like much shorter ago than where we're at now on the calendar. What's going on?
You know, we're going to be out of oil. When I say we're out of oil, we got plenty of oil because the strait is open. There's traffic through the strait.
Hey, Unc, wait, hold on, Unc. Just give me 1 second here. So there's like 5 to 10 ships going through the strait a day right now. Unc, the previous traffic was 150. How do you square that? Look at that. U.S. only has 43-day emergency buffer. We're in the emergency now. There is no buffer of crude oil left in 45-year low. I mean, that's another win. You know, we'll get tired of winning there. U.S. crude oil supplies have fallen to their lowest level in 45 years as President Potato Trump continues to wage war against Iran. With only 43 days of global supply left, there now exists a thinner cushion against any potential disruptions should the fighting in the Middle East escalate further. Notice how they don't say resume. It's already started again. According to Bank of America Global Research data, Bloomberg, the U.S. just has 43 days of crude oil supply, including the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. So the SPR is even lower than that. The SPR is even lower than the 43-day. What a nightmare. What a complete and total nightmare. And a complete and total nightmare of choice. We did not have to be here. We did not have to do this. We did not have to engage. And ultimately, the most amazing thing that will come out of all of this is that somehow we'll be blamed for it. The anti-war people will be blamed for it. They'll say, oh, no, you didn't want to go far enough. You didn't want to really win this. This is a prediction right now. This is what Mark Levin is going to say if God help us, Lord help us, we're able to extricate ourselves from the conflict and end the war. He's going to say, he's not going to say, well, I told you it'd only be a short conflict. I told you we'd get what we wanted, right? He's going to be cursing the president's name if/when we get ourselves out of this in any form or function. You already see it. I played that clip from a while ago where he's literally talking about like a little girl on the phone with like her middle school friend, how he's got his like feet kicked up behind him and he's on the phone with Trump talking to Mr. Producer about it. How sick is that? By the way, but it's not going to be all cutesy teacup party this time. It's going to be Massa Levin cracking the whip on Donald Trump. What's your name?
I'm a Zionist. I promise I'll bomb Iran again.
Like that's literally where we are, because any nation, any foreign power that could do this to us, that could drain our strategic reserves in this way, not even Biden when he did it. It wasn't even this bad. This is unprecedented. The lowest level since the 1980s. The decline comes as markets fear tightening crude oil supplies as the U.S. continues to bomb Iran. Shocking prediction. And this is what you can be an analyst. You can be a journalist. You can be a broadcaster, because the people that do it for a living are straight up effing retarded. Seriously. Oh, rocket scientist here. After Trump, who has been accused by his own staff of letting his appearance go on purpose after a sloppy discovery, launched the initial strikes against Iran at the end of February. Iran seized control of the strait. Oh, so they admit in writing, and keep in mind, because the AI, if the neocons win, it will erase this from history. So they didn't always control the strait. What happened to make them control the strait? What happened? Oh, no. What happened to the neocons out there in the audience? Because I know you do listen to the show. Shout out to you guys in the shadows there. How does that make any sense to you? Like, do you have any oceanfront property in Arizona that you'd like to purchase? I've got tons of beautiful locations. I'd love to show you. I'd love to sell you a $1 million house with that oceanfront property view in Arizona. $2 million, I can get you a condominium by the sea. $3 million, I will throw the Golden Gate Bridge in for free. How about that? Because that's the deal they sold to our president. And like, I know you at home, you think that's ridiculous and you're like, oh, well, that's an exaggeration. We could never win this. There was no reason to do this. They convinced him to kill the Islamic Pope on day one, and they thought that would make the population obey. Think about that. you rationally sitting at home or in the car doing whatever, you know that's not reality. But to them, it's just like Brandon said in the last hour, they are convinced they have the will and the power to do it so they can do it. And things don't always work that way. Here's another reason why they don't work that way. I was looking for this. Washington's position, overhead shot, please, has long been that the U.S. must be prepared to fight two major wars while containing a third conflict at the same time. It is nonsense, of course. Our corrupt, hollowed-out military-industrial complex cannot even sustain one standoff conflict. 39 days, right? Because that's how long they want to say the war is, right? They want to say the latest soldiers didn't die in Operation Epic Fury, right, when that really, truly never ended. Renewed Iran war would test diminished interceptor inventories, Patriot and THAAD interceptors remaining in U.S. inventory. Pre-war, 2,300, all right? Today, we got like 750. You know, that's you versus the guy she tells you not to worry about. And the guy she tells you not to worry about is China and President Xi. And I got news for you. President Xi is coming home. Winnie the Pooh is coming home. And he's going to own your house, too, because American politicians are going to be forced to sell off everything we own for the decades to come if the establishment two-party system is still in power and they'll kowtow to foreign interests after pretending that they tried to fight against them. It's sickening and disgusting that THAAD, the most advanced system we have, this costs even more money than the Patriot. I think the Patriot's $2 million. I think the THAAD is around $12,452,000. Today, $234,278,000. And here's the thing. These numbers are all lies. Exclamation point. Underline. They're all lies. We don't have any of these things. If we had this amount of these things, we wouldn't be pulling them out of Japan and South Korea and everywhere we could look for and everywhere we could know. And Hold on. I've just been watching the news for decades, okay? I was told that the whole goal of us backing Ukraine was to, as Lindsey Graham would say, over and over and over again, to deplete the Russian military. They look like they're just fine. They have access to rare earth minerals. They have access to manufacturing. They have a skilled manufacturing base. We have people that are unemployed and 500 pounds. That's what we have. How many missiles are we supposed to make? How many Wings of Redemption and Boogie 2988s are we supposed to put on the battlefield? Like a Optimus Prime or Megatron or something. It just doesn't work long term, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to go to this, talk about out of touch. Let's go to clip number 10 of the dear leader, Heil Trump.
Of Iran, I had to make it. We had the best numbers that anybody's ever seen. But now you take a look with that going on. We have you just hit to get today. I think it's number 79 days. We hit an all time stock market high.
Yep.
401ks are the highest they've ever been by double and triple.
Yep.
And then I read where we're doing badly on the economy. By the way, job numbers. We have more people working in the United States today than ever in history. We're doing an unbelievable job. Costs are coming way down. I inherited.
I know it's always been state media. This is true state media. This is like you got Kim Jong-un in Pyongyang taking notes right now on exactly how to do it. He's like, I like that one. We do that style. They show him as dear leader. I won't be dear leader now. Like that's literally Trump's attitude. And he says he wants to be like Attila the Hun. All right. That was his historical example of like, I want people to like me like that. Which is just, you know, a fair bit, a little bit deranged. And I can give you some crazy quotes here. I can say, I like it when inflation goes up. That's what Trump has said. I like it when, of course, the housing prices go up because he serves the older demographic. And everything he listed there was for the older demographic. And, you know, I've done a few debates on this at this point. I'm looking to refine my ideals and my arguments, of course. But I do believe that a certain neocon generation is partially responsible for this, especially in the halls of power. I think that's pretty much undeniable at this point. And that's ultimately the power base and the class and interest that Trump serves, right? I think Trump is 80 years old. He's born in 1946, right? So that would make him literally the first year boomer. That's like the T-800, like Arnold Schwarzenegger versus the T-1000, the guy who's also in The Sopranos as well. Great character. Is he in this? Yeah, I think he is as well. So that classic fight, that's kind of what you've got going on. It's interesting to pay attention to. I want to go to clip number 7 now, talking about how they're taking advantage of us domestically at home.
This is one of the biggest scams in American history. This marriage between the AI industry and these mega corporations, and they're trying to pull it off against every American consumer. AI surveillance pricing is the unholy trinity of everything Americans hate, spying on people, ripping them off, and taking away jobs. Let me just talk about each of those briefly in turn. First, spying on people. Did you know that your neighborhood grocery store is amassing your data and tracking your purchases all for their profit? For example, take Kroger. Kroger is not just a grocery store, though it is certainly that, one of the largest. It is a data-selling mega corporation. Kroger's loyalty program has a treasure trove of data on you if you're one of their customers. One Kroger customer got a copy of his shopping profile recently. You want to guess how long it was? 62 pages. 62 pages of personalized data on this one person based on his shopping history. Last year, Kroger earned over $500 million from selling, yes, selling the data that it harvests from its loyal customers and giving it to other corporations. You know, that accounts for 33% of its net income last year. A third of its income came from selling the personal data of its own customers.
All right, come back to me. Here's the thing about that. The reason why you have domestic policy and regulation that's so horrible, it allows things like this to happen, is the same reason you have the wars. And this is why, I mean, it's like thick as thieves would, I guess, be the correct explanation. You have all these power interests, whether it's domestic, financial, money, military, intelligence, you name it. And they all come together on the basis of what they can do for each other, what they can give each other. And they're all giving each other a ton of money right now. And this is my big issue, just with the current administration in general. Trump said he was going to be the AI president. If you think about it, Donald Trump became president at a very pivotal time in just technological development. You can look at 2016, you can say, not really. You can look at 2024, you can say, oh, yeah. I mean, that's kind of the big thing going on since 2022. He's going to be the guy that literally writes the, signs the laws and decides and pushes forward and really makes the Republicans write things, makes certain other people write things as well. He is a force for this new technological agenda. And like, this is stuff my dad has talked about since way before 2016, since back in the early 2000s. So my earliest memories are just him talking about the universe, talking about the world, right? And all of that is pretty much coming true. They've always talked about the Internet of Things as an example. And the idea I want people to envision and to get used to, I don't want you to get used to it. So I apologize for saying that, but to get used to thinking about the concept so that we can fight against it, is the idea of having everything in your life run off a meter, right? This is also the you'll own nothing and be happy, which is why I just say that just now, is because when you own nothing and you're happy, you know, you got everything you need, man. You live in a 15-minute city. All your electricity is taken care of. Well, not at night, though. You don't get electricity at night. All your water is taken care of. Well, you don't get water after 4 p.m., and you should have saved enough. You have a half gallon for the day. It's okay. And you get to move around as much as you want, but you're in a 200-square-foot coffin apartment. And that's the reality. And the thing that's so scary is not even that will be the reality. It's that you will willingly and gladly accept that reality, because the digital reality, the virtual reality, the augmented world, the augmented reality combined with the artificial intelligence, like, it's over. That's what Ready Player One represents. I think that's a key movie for people to watch. I hate that movie. I would never want to live in a world like that. But that's sadly what's coming. And you take a look in that movie when he goes out of the world, it's horrible. It's unlivable, but people don't care. And eventually that's the death of the species, if not eventually, very, very soon. And this is the type of stuff that if you ignore it for a year, 3 years, or a presidential administration or two, it's pretty much finito for the human race. And it's so disappointing to think that this wasn't even really on my mind, my agenda, my political thinking was not even complete. I was an infant, a child, just a couple years ago, not even realizing the horrors and the guardrails that needed to be put in place on things like AI. You know, if we have the antitrust laws of, the age of Teddy Roosevelt, right? If we have like the Sherman Antitrust Act, and that's so important, you learn about it in history class. If that is such a big deal, then why is stuff that's 500 times more futuristic, sci-fi, crazy, hellish potential, 5 million, infinitely more dangerous than just like company town monopoly unks running around, right? And the entire population does nothing to control it. We all just pay for it. We all just pay for Claude, pay for ChatGPT,
pay for the other AI tools. And eventually, like, this is what I often say, you really only have 5 years in like a cycle whenever you're going to do something, right? We're in the beginning to the middle. When it reaches the end, kind of like, you know, I think the 2020s are mirroring the 2010s a lot. When we reach the end, when we reach what was 2020 back then in COVID, 2030 or 2029 or wherever it is, okay, in a year or two, right? When we reach that time period, I think a lot of things are just going to fall out of the sky. And I think that we were habituated to that and we got used to that during COVID, and they're letting us forget that right now very deliberately. And the whip is going to be cracked, and it doesn't make me feel good to think about it or talk about it, but that is the truth, and that is the reality of being prepared, and that is why we talk about that on the network. And you are truly not prepared if not only if you're receiving the information and waking up. That's very important. That's very good. You need to be sharing this show with your friends, with your family, with your coworkers, with your loved ones, with anybody you care about, or just any human in general, because you should care about everybody. That's AJN Live at AJN Live. That's Real Alex Jones at Real Alex Jones. It is the pro-human thing to do to tell people to check out AJN Live at AJN Live on Twitter, on Rumble, Alex Jones Live, to go to the website, alexjoneslive.com, to go to the store, alexjonesstore.com, and to support the broadcast with word of mouth and or financially. That is your mission, should you choose to accept it. It takes a lot to run a ship like this. It takes a lot to be able to fire the beams and the missiles and the turbo lasers. We have to have the financial support in order to do that. I want you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. I want you to check out the supplements we have. If you are an older person and you take CoQ10, you take PQQ already, we have a combination product that has magnesium and has the activated form of vitamin B12 for methylation support. That's methylcobalamin available. That's Methyl Drive at thealexjonesstore.com. I created two products to go in tandem with Methylene Blue, and just generally mitochondrial dietary supplementation in general, and that's Power Plant and Methyl Drive. Those are available in something called the Power Drive Bundle. And you got that right there. Also got the Power Plant, which is what I made kind of to be like an evolved take on Super Male Vitality, to make a product that's great for both men and women, just really helps promote exercise, fitness, vitality, really just for mitochondrial health, energy, VO2 max, raising testosterone, free testosterone, if you're deficient in key minerals. I mean, that Arctic root, that Rhodiola rosea, that is what the Soviets studied as the first adaptogen, or as one of the first adaptogen type ingredients. That is where the term comes from in large part. Look up the studies. We have the same type of dose available for you in Power Plant and Methyl Drive. That combination formula is really incredible, but they're phenomenal products on their own. And I would recommend, if you're going to make a decision, if you're a younger person, look up the ingredients in Power Plant. Look at your exercise, look at what you're trying to do in the gym or at work, and then decide, like, do you need a little mental boost, physical drive, mental energy? That's Power Plant. If you're older, looking for that CoQ10, PQQ, support, like antioxidant support. If you're looking for a mitochondrial function, you're looking for mitochondrial biogenesis, electron transport chain support, all of that and more is available in the Power Drive Bundle. And we got a lot more at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm Rex Jones, Rex Jones News with the Z. Follow me on X if you want to do that. Have a lot of fun on there with you guys, and see you after the break.
Tell you something right now that is one of the most, if not the most important things I've ever talked about on air, and I want you to really listen to me, and I want you to get a pen and paper out of your iPhone, out of your Droid, and type this into your notes, and I want you at lunch today or tonight or right now to just go to any search engine you want and type in two different names, two different words, okay, two different drugs that have won Nobel Prizes, you name it, that people don't want you to know about. And one of those is ivermectin that everybody knows about. The other one that most people still don't know about is mebendazole. If you do the research, then it's important to understand that you need to get it from a pharmacy. You need to get it from a doctor. And we have a sponsor, and that's, of course, Bigly. And they went and they used the same service as, you know, the big web, RXs, and great people we've used that have been sponsors in the past. But this is Bigly doing it. And the key is, it's real, it's pharmaceutical, and it is a very low price. People are selling knockoffs of it online without a prescription, and a lot of it's fake, or a lot of it's watered down and adulterated. Because I did a regimen a couple years ago of Mebendazole. We'll put that on screen. That's how you spell it right there. Mebendazole. And it didn't have any effect. I bought it off of Amazon. And then I did more research, and they said most of that stuff's fake. So I went, and I got it from a doctor, and it was incredible. And my own medical doctor owns clinics all over the state of Texas had already been pushing it on me for years, and I just never done it. Ladies and gentlemen, you can get the two in a combo, the ivermectin and the mebendazole, together, and they work synergistically together. It is certified and known, both of them, as incredible anti-parasite. Just search the term ivermectin, mebendazole, and just put in study and do your own research and see what the system has been suppressing about this. And this is something, in my view, talk to your physician, and when you go to the website, it's, you know, online pharmacy, and they've got nurses, doctors, all of it. And then you get the prescription. It's very, very easy to do. And I would recommend to talk to your doctors. My own personal opinion, what I do for myself is twice a year, I take a regimen of ivermectin and mebendazole. And it is incredible. People ask why I look so young while I'm healthy. Well, it's a cocktail of things. It's the ivermectin. It's the mebendazole that I take about twice a year as a regimen. Some people, my medical doctor says, take a little bit of ivermectin every week, but I tend to forget to do that. She's literally just says take like two pills a week as a supplemental. That's what my medical doctor tells me. You get your own medical doctor to tell you what you want. But the big thing they say is a couple times a year, a big dose, a big regimen. You talk to your physicians. You talk to the folks in the online pharmacy. Let me put it on screen for you. 1776RX, just 1776RX.health. This is one of the most important things you'll ever do, ladies and gentlemen. And despite the system trying to suppress this information, it's getting out everywhere. So do your own research. This is revolutionary. This is so important. 1776, just the numbers. 1776RX.health. Those are the coordinates, and it's a win-win to fund our operation and what we're doing. Take action now. The most important decision you'll ever make, 1776RX.health, and get your ivermectin, mebendazole right now, ladies and gentlemen. But whatever you do, go to the AlexJonesStore.com. These are incredible products. All these things work. They don't have sexy names. Irish sea moss, Shilajit, bovine colostrum. Oh, research bovine colostrum and then find out we have the best. Oh, research Irish sea moss. We have the best. Research Shilajit. We have the best. We just bring you things the bad guys don't want you to know about at TheAlexJonesStore.com and, of course, at 1776RX.health. Take action now. Thank you so much for your support.
The powerful Michael Yon is going to join me in the third hour of today's War Room broadcast. I've got Matt Murphy joining me in the next hour as well. I am your host, Rex Jones. War Room Live, AJN Live, share live links, live feeds. We put out clips every episode we do, the Alex Jones Show, War Room as well. So if there's something already out that you saw, share it with a friend, a family member. Let them know what you know. They need to know it. And I want to continue the neocon roundup. Let's go ahead and play Jesse Waters, clip number 14.
Fox News alert, the gay Ayatollah's back at the table. Sources say it could be surrendering the strait.
We are in talks with the Iranians, and I think there is a chance we may have a deal today or tomorrow to open the strait and move towards a more normalized position in this conflict.
How many times are you going to lie? Moving,
and so did Rubio.
How many times are you gonna cap?
Focus on is the straits. The straits.
Look at his ears. They're huge.
Right now, through the straits, so the straits are open. I think that there's a conversation and a negotiation that we are involved in between Oman and Iran on how more ships can be able to go through there safely in the short term as we move towards these longer term talks about denuclearization. And suffice it to say there's been progress made in those talks, but not finality yet. We're hoping that will happen.
All right, go ahead and mute it. This is key to understand. We just went over this in the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show with Brandon Weicker. We are not at the negotiation table. We are not sitting there. We communicate with the Pakistanis and the Omanis after they communicate with Iran. So when Marco Rubio or Trump try to take ownership over any potential peace deal or like equitable arrangement or like hopefully like a pathway to the end of hostilities, it's not them doing it. In fact, we already went through this entire process, which is why I have a hard time believing all the BS around it. How am I supposed to believe that this is all going to work out and that we're not going to find a way to antagonize or violate it when more troops are being staged? There's more U.S. military assets in the Middle East, not less. And then you have Marco Rubio trying to take credit. When I hear them trying to take credit, all I hear is them staging, it didn't work out with them and we're going to violate it. So it will be interesting. Keep playing Jesse Waters.
Negotiations are over the roots. Ships should sail through Hormuz, whether Europeans demine and service fees. Trump says no fees, so they're squabbling.
That's not working.
Now, if we don't like what they're cooking up, the sanctions and blockade stay. No sweat.
They've been sanctioned for 47 years.
Losing a small fortune every day.
The meanwhile, blockade cost us a billion. It's small banner. Fortune.
Oil closed in the 70s. The market wants peace. So does Trump. But he's prepared for war. The 2 weeks of airstrikes were decisive. When Trump mentioned decapitation, the mullahs climbed down. Our F-22s never rest, refueling as they stalk the enemy.
Oh, my gosh.
And the F-22 Raptors are ready to fly.
What about you, Jesse? What if we strap you to one of those planes, you know, like Odysseus or something? Dude, these people, man. I would never talk about war. We're going to go over there and kill them. It's not even, we're going to go over there and kick their butt. And it's like, you go over there. You get airdropped over Tehran with an assault rifle. And then you go see how you do. Like, here's the thing. Trump has lied again and again and again about these people having air defense. Okay, I'm talking about these people as in our American service members, our troops. He says, oh, no, our troops, our people, they're taken care of. They're protected. Hegseth says they're protected. We say we have the interceptors. Here's the thing. Robert Pape has talked about this, very established geopolitical theologian, really. You have people like Larry Johnson that have talked about this. You have people like Ted Postol, an MIT professor who specializes in missile warfare, that breaks all this down. The intercept rate has to be below 10%. Because whenever you see these things go up, you see like three or four of them go up and you don't see them hit their target. And like I said earlier in the last segment, if you look at the Russian situation, and you look at the war we've been fighting with Ukraine as our proxy for the past 3-4 years now, we don't have the ability to do this anymore. And when he talks about the planes, he's like, our F-22s, they never rest. I'm Jesse Waters. Our F-22s never rest. Well, do they need more missiles? Do they need more, munitions, precision strike guided munitions that we're not going to have very, very soon? And I understand we have marginally more offensive munitions, and then we do defensive munitions. But the just because the gas thing on your car says 3 miles left, that doesn't mean it's like really much any better than empty. Now, does it? And all these things cost billions of dollars, and ultimately our troops' lives are priceless. They are totally priceless. And anyone who would spend precious American human and spiritual capital, much less military power, in the Middle East has really got to be called into question. Keep playing, Jesse Waters. Look at this. Look what they're getting you ready for. Look at the propaganda here. This is just like Iraq. And I was like crawling around on the floor. I was a toddler. Wow. Look at what he's getting you ready for. Look at what Jesse Waters is glorifying on primetime TV. And then think about the fact that we were deplatformed, taken off the air for saying that Oliver Darcy looked like a possum. Right? My dad said, Oliver Darcy, you look like a possum that crawled out of the rear end of a cow in my view. That's the quote. Sue me if it's not true. Down to every single article in that sentence. That got us taken off YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, basically overnight. All right, completely overnight. And at the time, people said, oh, no, they're too extreme. They're too crazy. They promote violence. Promoting violence. We've never promoted violence. We've always been an anti-war, pro-peace, Jesus first, God first, Christian first show. Jesse Waters promotes violence every single night. Rachel Maddow promotes violence every single night. Sean Hannity foments violence every single night. Mark Levin, like, orgasms over violence every single night on live TV and live radio, and they get away with it because they are the establishment. They are protected. They are in the in club. People want to take photos with them. Politicians think they're cool. Oh, I'm the guy in the suit. I'm the whatever. They are corporately bought. They are corporately owned. I do a 3 to 4 hour show, sometimes multiple times a day, with only my own prep time, research information, and the power of the crew. Literally telling me telling them what I want, them to do in order for us to have the best show. Versus somebody like Jesse Waters, who literally is getting intelligence agency, in my opinion, talking points to run PSYOP warfare on the American people. Show that again. They are showing Marines on the ground firing weapons. When have we had boots on the ground? I thought that was the whole point of how this isn't a war yet, because we don't have boots on the ground. Our service members in military bases getting killed by Iranian missiles don't count. But oh no, look what they're getting you ready for. Boys and girls, we're inclusive now. We're feminists. We're pro-diversity. We don't care what color you are, what race you are. You can identify as a potato, but you're going to go fight and die in Iran. Because, hey, you wouldn't want to not die in Iran, would you? You wouldn't not want to preserve and promote the Greater Israel Project now, would you? That'd be anti-American. Think about that. They're showing you people out there firing guns on the ground while telling you this isn't going to turn into a ground war. And like I said, that is literally like the equivalent of North Korean state media. Kim Jong-un is out there taking notes. Eric, just go back to him. Keep going.
This could be his last chance. U.S. Intel knows where he sleeps and who he sleeps with.
Okay, so their thing is they call the Ayatollah gay, right? They're like, oh, the Ayatollah is gay, the gay Ayatollah. Well, you have actually gay Scott Bessent, who is like a supervillain status, has crashed like multiple currencies, like worth billions of dollars, literally like a Lex Luthor type figure. you have this guy's member of the cabinet. Right? I just don't get it. I don't get how Americans don't see the reality. Right? Like, when you're propagandized, when they hit you with buzzwords, ultimately, none of these things matter. Ethnicities don't matter to these people, right? Unless you're Jewish, of course. But like, seriously, it's about the money. It's about the money and the access to it and the power that it bequeaths you and gives you. And these people are so detached, they think that they can do these wars to us forever and that we're just going to accept it just because, LOL, the Ayatollah is gay. Right? Ayatollah is gay, LOL, LMAO, we blew up a elementary school. Yeah, but the Ayatollah gay, so it's cool. That's really, really monstrous, in my opinion. Let's go ahead and go to clip number 16, talk about wargasming. Ben Shapiro argues the Iran war has not driven United States food inflation. Let's check in with a genius.
Here online. We need to stop being distracted by foreign wars. It's the foreign wars that are causing the food inflation. No, it isn't. The war in Iran has had basically no impact on food prices in the U.S. Now, as we'll get to, we can have arguments over the outcome of the war. Was it worth it and all the rest? But that has nothing to do with grocery prices. And this whole misdirect where it's like, here's a thing I don't like. Probably it was the war that did it. It's just nonsense. Right, here is the food inflation percentage increase 2016 to 2026. Okay, and as you'll see, not there. 2023, 2.7, 2024, 2.5, 2025, 3.1, 2026, 3. Okay, that is not a gigantic bump based on the war in Iran. And by the way, if you actually would like for the prices to go up, probably what you should do is leave Iran in charge of the Strait of Hormuz so they can keep throttling up or throttling down our prices at whim based on oil shocks. Losing wars to failed dictatorships, seeking nuclear weapons, turns out it's not brilliant trade strategy.
That's right. We must continue the war to return the strait to pre-war conditions, but it's not a war. It's a military operation, but it's also a war we've been fighting for 47 years. It's a giant circle jerk over and over and over again. I don't believe your stats. I don't believe your numbers because I go to the grocery store. You know, Ben Shapiro has a Shabbos Goyim every Saturday, go to the Whole Foods or whatever and get him whatever he needs or wherever the kosher food is at, right? I go to the grocery store. I've been buying ground beef literally since I was like 14, 15 years old. And I have seen the price of ground beef go from $3.50 to about $10.50. Explain to me how that works exactly. You know, how exactly does that work? And how does most of that happen now under Biden and then Trump? I thought Trump was supposed to end that policy. I thought things were supposed to get cheaper. Well, why are we giving a $40 billion subsidy to Argentinian beef and letting foreign beef in the country? Well, why are we not helping the farmers? Oh, you don't understand. If we help the farmers, it'll hurt the American economy. And they always say this. They say you can't build the wall because it's too much money. Can't take care of American veterans because it's too much money. all these lies, when in reality, we farted out $113 billion in like 39 days for the first part of this war that's not a war that's been going on for 47 years. And then they tell you you can't have anything here. They tell you that it's socialism if you want anything here. Imagine if you got an $8,000 a year tax credit to help you homeschool your child, right? Or help you with childcare or something like that. Not advocating for a socialized program here, but I'm just saying, imagine if you got a tax credit from the government. And I understand people go, I don't want to pay any taxes. Taxation is theft. I agree in principle, but talking here strictly from the perspective of what are we going to do? The American people want more. The American people want all of this power, all this money that's been given to people overseas. When do we get prioritized? When does that happen exactly? And why have we been trained like crabs in the bucket to not ever ask or demand more? And it's literally, you hear these people on Fox News, the most out of touch people on the planet. Yeah. Where's my $2,000 tariff check? Hold on. Unk. Get him back up there. Dude, Unk, I'm broke. I need the money. Unk, give me the $2,000 tariff check. Oh, wait, that's not going to happen. Promises made, promises kept. Unk, come on. Come on. You know, Trump was very popular in certain communities because of the PPP loan. So there you go. All right. We're not getting any money from him. We're probably going to have to spend more money, definitely going to have to spend more money. It is quite a macabre situation that we find ourselves to be in. And I want to go now to clip number 12 with Marjorie Taylor Greene. Go to clip number 12.
But it was Donald Trump. President Trump told me, literally, he said, it's your fault. You deserve it. President Trump told me that I deserve having my son killed and that it's my fault. Because I stood up for women who were when they were teenage girls by his filthy, disgusting, dirty friends.
Yeah. Yeah. But here's the thing. His friends will get hurt if he releases the Epstein files, but Epstein's not a sex trafficker, pedophile. He really never even existed, even though Ghislaine Maxwell is serving 20 years in prison for trafficking children with and to Jeffrey Epstein. Even though her father, Robert Maxwell, literally wrote all of her history textbooks, literally was like the James Bond of Israel equivalent, Barry with the highest honors at the Mount of Olives in Israel. But there's no intelligence connection there. Epstein's just kind of a guy that was a teacher that met a billionaire and got power of attorney over him. It's not weird at all to get power of attorney over a billionaire. It's so funny to see Alan Dershowitz, Epstein's lawyer, that has literally become a representative of the establishment Zionist wing of the Republican Party, which is what's in ascendancy and power now. That's a lot of people's hero right there, you know, on the establishment side and in the White House. It's a big problem and it's very disturbing. Let's go ahead and go to clip number 17. I want to show Rand Paul giving his take on the current situation.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Weekly Report. Call off the Iran war. Just walk away. After several days of increasing threats against Iran, including social media posts like, finish the job and take the oil, no mercy, President Trump has over the weekend called off a planned major escalation in the Middle East for now. The U.S. is locked and loaded and ready to go against the Islamic Republic of Iran at levels
He's
of military
Trump's tweet.
Terror, strength and power not seen since World War II. He wrote on his social media account, despite this, we have just been asked by Iran and other Middle Eastern countries to hold off any attack in that perimeter of a deal has been agreed to, he added. Iran denies any communication with the U.S. and has threatened retaliation against energy infrastructure in the region if its energy infrastructure is attacked. Such destruction could plunge the world into an economic depression. Iranian retaliation, including against critical water desalinization plants, could also depopulate U.S. allies in the region, including Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and others. Saudi Arabia's Mohammed bin Salman personally called President Trump to request he not escalate against Iran. According to various media articles, the U.S. is running dangerously low on missiles, especially interceptor missiles such as the Patriot system. Our ability to protect our military bases in the Middle East appears to be gone. Reportedly, President Trump has warned by his top military advisors that a ground operation against Iran would result in a high level of U.S. casualties and would have no guarantee of success. Already, the official totals are 18 U.S. service members killed and more than 700 injured in this operation. Over the weekend, the U.S. military completed its evacuation of a major military base in the Kurdish region of Iraq. This follows similarly evacuations of virtually every U.S. base in the region, including the home of the U.S. 5th Fleet in Bahrain and safe U.S. bases in Jordan. The entirety of U.S. military power in the region appears to have been relocated to Israel. The war, which was supposed to last a couple of weeks and pay for itself, is entering into its sixth month, and the price tag so far is over $100 billion. A war that was started to thwart an Iranian nuclear threat that, according to U.S. intelligence, didn't exist, has become a war to open a waterway.
That's the key. Come back to me. That's the key right there. He broke down the Gulf countries as well, which is another key because they're ultimately the ones that are going to be depopulated if they don't have the water, which is what he brought up. But this is all about the strategic reality of the strait being open before the war started, us being involved in this conflict purely as a war of choice. Go back to what he's saying there.
Before the war started, things are so bad that according to the Washington Post, the U.S. general in charge of the U.S. European command.
Go ahead and pause it. Go ahead and pause it again really quick. That's the thing is we did this to ourselves. Like I was saying, a war of a choice, an initial war of aggression. Keep playing it.
That was open before the war started. Things are so bad that according to the Washington Post, the U.S. general in charge of the U.S. European command sent a message to senior Pentagon officials saying that without another Navy destroyer, he will be forced to choose defense of the United States homeland over that of Israel. How is defending a foreign country over our own country even a choice?
We'll pause it. All right, this is the point I was trying to find. Iran was never making a nuclear weapon. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. 19 intelligence agencies confirmed they weren't making a nuclear weapon. Tulsi Gabbard, as recently as 2024, was selling a shirt that said no war with Iran because of assessments like that and the assessments in the past as well. I've interviewed Joe Ken about this. Like, this is a known reality. Every time they say Iran must never have a nuclear weapon or doing the war to stop the nuclear program, or we obliterated it, or we did whatever, you have to realize that person's either ignorant or they're lying to you to preserve the U.S.-Israeli empire. And that's just downright anti-American. It's anti-American not to acknowledge, and this really is the question about the war, quote-unquote. They say it's not a war, but also it's going on for 47 years, a bit ridiculous. Do you genuinely believe, if you're pro-war and arguing for the pro-war stance, that Iran was about to imminently develop a nuclear weapon and use it? Is that your belief? Why then, if we don't want them to have a nuclear weapon, why did we murder the guy that in 2003 banned the bomb? That would be Ayatollah Khamenei. You know, he wasn't in a bunker when we killed him, wasn't a military base, wasn't having a meeting. He was at home with his family. His like 4-month-old grandniece or whatever the relation was burned to death, right? And then think about them and their desire to build a nuclear weapon changing after you murder the guy who banned it. And you say, oh, he's a radical. He's trying to nuke us and kill us anyway. It's a good thing we killed him. You know they have TV too, right? You know they have the internet too, right? You know they have the ability to see what Western media is saying, right? And when they're shown Western media, I mean, their government doesn't even have to do propaganda. We outsource the control of our country to Israel. Iran outsources their propaganda to us because we run it on Fox News every single night. And that's the reality. You think these people want to take the American deal? You think they want OnlyFans and an International Monetary Fund bank and IMF World Bank in their country? I don't really think so. And when you say it's all about a nuclear weapon, instead of very clearly what it's about, which they also admit, which is regime change, you're lying to the entire world, not just the American people. And I think enough Americans and enough people globally are smart enough to realize what's going on. And ultimately, people get very passionate about politics. People get very passionate about what they believe. Everyone has like the perfect belief system. And then if you don't agree with them, you become Hitler or libtard or whatever. The reality is we're all going to have to live with each other and we can't keep bombing each other to death. It's stupid. Who does it profit? Doesn't profit you. Doesn't profit Jose. Doesn't profit Ahmed. Doesn't profit Zhang. Doesn't profit, I don't know, like whatever. Doesn't profit anybody around the world to have these wars, but people that are worth billions and hundreds of billions and hundreds of millions of dollars. And there's only a few of those people. There are really only a few of those people. It's not representative of the world and of America and of American values. Because here's the thing. We created the modern world. We created the plane, the internet, the computer, the car, industrial capacity, the assembly line, all the planes. Everything comes from here, okay? Because we are a result of the West, of Greece, of Rome, of Britain, of that historical tradition culminating the flower of the Renaissance, as my dad often says. What's the merit of that? Are we that anymore? Do we represent the culmination of Western culture, Western civilization, Western values? We were able to fight a war and supply the entire world during World War II. The entire world. And after, that's why we became so powerful. What do we have now? We have a different country. Back then, it was a Christian country. Now it is a Judeo-Christian country. And in a Judeo-Christian country, you fight and die for Israel. You pay taxes for Israel. You go to war for Israel, and your entire government is run by them. And that's just the reality. Because if it wasn't, we wouldn't be over in the Middle East in the ways that we have been for the past 30 years. It doesn't make sense for us to live like this. It doesn't make sense for us to do this. All I ever advocate for is to declare victory and go home, like Joe Kent says. Just leave. Just be done with it. We don't need these bases. We don't need American soldiers dying in the Middle East. We can do economic strategy, economic policy with the last vestiges of American empire and power when our tariff pulling, if we were able to pull sanctions from these countries, could still be worth a damn. In the 11th hour, we're doing deals with the demonic Keebler elf, Benjamin Netanyahu, the real king of America. Makes me sick. Be right back with more information.
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such the top rated, the biggest company because they're the best. And he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call, and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started, or give us a call at 720-605-3900, and let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price of the metal in the ground. Miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground. They dig their tunnels. They drive it to the refinery. They melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3-5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day at what the price is. Type in what's wholesale gold and silver. And then you get it from them with a little processing fee. And then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. KPM.com/gold. Get a free telephone consultation email. You call 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Yeah, so like, how do you have these laws and these wars and these companies that take advantage of us and oppress us and do what they're really known to do, which is take advantage, period. That's what I'm talking about there. I'm talking about Flock right now. I want to go over this with people, and I've shown some of the graphs on like morning shows that I do. I do a show called New American Journal every morning, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Have a lot of phenomenal guests on there. But you see the Flock cameras kind of grow as a cancer across the country. And this is why I talked about in the last segment of Trump being president at a very critical time where you have really this great leap forward, not to borrow from Mao, but seriously with the AI revolution. You think about Project Stargate and $500 billion to open AI on day one. You think about the way that Larry Ellison, Elon Musk and others have been very central at the White House and just around all these policies and the way that these same AI engines a lot of the time are used for warfare and combat capability. They are tracking Americans. I want to make this very clear. They are tracing Americans. They are watching Americans. And they are doing the same thing right now to the utmost level times a thousand, add crack cocaine to it, in Gaza, in Lebanon, with systems like Mosaic and others. And this is why I always say, you don't care about the Palestinian. You should, because the Palestinian also represents you. They want to track you just like they want to track them. Citizens are doing some things about it. Let's go to clip number 4 on the sheet.
A wild story tonight where it appears nearly 20,000 people have vouched for the whereabouts of a man accused of destroying Flock cameras in West Virginia. Thousands of people have publicly said they were with or saw 20-year-old Wesley Jackson during the time he was accused of the crime, with comments such as, "Couldn't be him. He was helping me replace the roof on a homeless shelter. And I saw him serving at a soup kitchen at the time of the incident. He has pleaded not guilty to the crimes against him."
That's the thing, is a law is only a law if it's enforceable, right? And if people will, vote in a jury to convict. And if we're all living in this oppressive system that's designed to control us and everybody knows about it, it doesn't matter if the sheriff of Nottingham comes and brings you in. Ultimately, hopefully, your own citizens should see the merit of what's going on and free you because you didn't do anything wrong. A law that isn't moral, law that doesn't follow our Constitution, is not a law. It's oppression done on you by a corporation or by a foreign government or by our own government, right? And I don't think any American is ready to accept that. I think you're going to see a lot more stories like this. I think you're going to see a lot more cases around the country because people don't want to live this way. We don't. It's a lie. I remember there wasn't a self-checkout. I remember there wasn't Amazon Prime. I remember there weren't all these things. And they tell you you need them as an aspect of control over your life. Look at that. That is a cancer on our society right there. That is a cancer that is viewable in lifetime. There are all sorts of incidents of like fat lesbian police officers looking up your license plate, coming after you with a chainsaw, trying to get you, like doing like literally DARPA level stuff. Now it's readily available to your local police department. And that's a part of getting the power structure to adopt it. I bet it's pretty fun and cool to get to use all these tools on people all the time. And the thing is, you shouldn't ever be using these tools on anybody, not even in warfare, which is why our whole point about this being anti-war, anti-surveillance, pro-human, we're ideologically consistent. We don't want it to happen over there because we don't want it to happen over here and because nobody deserves it in general. I'm going to be joined by former Green Beret and intelligence expert Matt Murphy here in the next segment. We're looking forward to that. We're going to be covering the geopolitical waterfront, also talking more on the BRICS and the growth of the global south and its power. I want to talk to him as well on the specific logistics of bombing campaigns, how they work and how they function. He's an expert in that as well. I want you to go to thealexjonesstore.com, check out the methylene blue, check out the power plant, check out the methyl drive, check out the methyl red, check out the MK Ultra, check out the ultimate life force. So much is available for you, but I check out that power drive bundle first. I created those products. That's power plant, methyl drive, that's cordyceps, rhodiola rosea, zinc, boron, selenium, CoQ10, PQQ, magnesium, and methylated vitamin B12, methylcobalamin. Get that power drive bundle at thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be right back with another powerful interview and another powerful War Room Live. Share the links, share the feed, share the transmission. You are the InfoWar. This is your mission, should you choose to accept it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Big Lee has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
We like to have people with experience on the show. You can watch Daily Wire with the Dave Rubin and Ben Shapiro running around, or you can watch the Alex Jones Network, watch shows like War Room and AJN Live, share them with your friends or family. We like to get people with the experience. Matt Murphy, former Green Beret, intelligence expert, joins us for the show. We had a phenomenal conversation, a phenomenal hour. We really covered, you know, the Greater Israel Project versus BRICS and the Abraham Accords and stuff like that. But getting into what's happening right now, I've been covering the news for 2 hours already. So I was like, oh, they're consolidating the route. And he's like, well, you're like, well, they're going to try to, but that's not going to happen. What's your view on that?
Well, so first of all, they've been saying this for what? Since the war kicked off the second time, you know, we've won the war. We've lost the war over and over and over again. You know, Iran's entering the negotiations and, you know, according to Trump, and then, you know, of course, Iran denies that they're even talking to the U.S., which they just did again a couple hours ago, actually.
Right.
You know, so there's this.
All right. We lost connection for a second. He's going to be right back with us. And this is why I want to get somebody like Matt on, because when I hear about these things, I instantly distrust it. But I'm looking for a solution. He actually understands. And like, the thing we talked about on the last stream, or last show, I should say, was the concept of, you know, us being unprepared for future rounds of strikes and really us adopting Israeli foreign policy with how we use our missiles and our munitions. And this is something that he specified. I'll ask him the question. I'll get his exact credentials on it. But he's been involved, you know, in coordinating aircraft and bombing and things like that. We're not supposed to do what we've been doing in the Middle East. We're not supposed to do it. It's very simple. This is the geopolitical reality. We don't have the ability to fight these wars or wage these campaigns. While we wait for them to come back, I was going to cover this in the prior segment. I'm going to go ahead and get to it now. This is another domestic issue. This is a big deal. Utah Senator, and I don't like Utah because they got Mitt Romney there. Senator, I like Utah. We got Utah listeners. John Curtis proposes state-led migrant worker pilot program. Curtis's bill mirrors Utah's 2011, guest worker. That's a good name for somebody that comes into your community and takes your job and sends remittances home. Proposal that never received federal approval. They're trying to do it again. Well, I thought it was inhospitable. I thought that Republicans controlled the House and the Senate and they were going to take care of us and it was all going to be good. Mark my words, this is going to do very well. I'm sure there'll be some slight amendments to it, but it'll probably go through. It'll probably pass. Because here's the thing. They got friends in hospitality. They got friends in big ag. They got friends in the big companies, friends in low places, friends in high places. Depends what you have to say. Here's the thing. The bipartisan plan would help fill the gap. That's what they say, by launching a pilot program for uniquely tailored visas accompanied by rigorous federal vetting that would include a process to investigate complaints of U.S. workers being displaced. The United States saw the highest levels of net immigration in American history under President Joe Biden, totaling more than 8 million entries. And that's just a fake number in general. Like, if you said that was legal, I'd probably believe you, but it's at least 20 million, 25 million people that came over here. He literally said, immediately surge the border once I'm president. So a little bit of a domestic roundup there. We got Matt Murphy joining us again. Let's just go ahead and get back into it. I was talking about, I was asking you a question related to the route. You said you don't think it's ever going to happen.
I don't think it is. I think it's political gaslighting at this point. I believe they're using the Strait of Hormuz right now to manipulate the markets, which we've seen them doing, you know, for the past few months, especially like, you know, Shell just reported its second highest quarterly profits in company history, right? I think they were about $9.8 billion last quarter. So, you know, as the price of gas is being played with, or the price of a barrel of oil is being played with, it's affecting the global economy, and it's allowing the elites and the corporations to price gouge right now. And you're seeing a lot of people get rich in these stock market pumps and dumps. You're seeing record profits again at Shell and other gas companies. And meanwhile, Americans are paying about $1 to $1.30 more a gallon of gas than when Trump got into office. So to me, it just seems like market manipulation more than anything. And it's gaslighting because, again, we didn't go into Iran because there were issues with the Strait of Hormuz, right? Initially, they told us we went into Iran because they had nuclear weapons. But, you know, Trump said he decimated their nuclear weapons capabilities the first time, right? So then we go back in because, oh, no, there's more, you know, capability for nuclear weapons. Of course, they've been saying that for 30 years. I know Netanyahu's been saying for, you know, they're 2 weeks away from a nuclear weapon for 30 years in Congress and Senate and everything else. So anyways, you know, when you look at what's happening with the war right now, Trump just doesn't want to admit defeat. And I think the only thing that he can give Iran a hard time on now is the Strait of Hormuz. And not just Iran, he can affect the global economy, right? Because this doesn't just hurt Iran. This hurts almost every country that moves or relies on the oil and the natural gas that moves through the Strait of Hormuz. So I think Trump is trying to utilize this partial naval blockade that America has established to harass Iran and cause trouble for Iran's allies and, of course, the people that are buying and selling oil, you know, with Iran. Right. So, you know, this is, it's just, it's basically mafia tactics, and kind of take me back to what we talked to about yesterday or the day before. You cannot, continue this without somebody doing something stupid, right? Because it's affecting their country, their economy, their people too much. So, of course, you're going to see somebody attack a ship. You're going to see some country do something stupid, or you're setting up the perfect environment for another false flag missile attack, blaming, you know, an attack on Iran and then going right back to a bombing campaign, or God forbid, you know, they blame the sinking of a U.S. ship on Iran.
Right.
And then now we're talking ground invasion. So the Strait of Hormuz is, it's the perfect pot to stir to set up any type of situation you want to justify future military actions, because you're pissing the world off now. And, you know, there's a lot of reports out right now showing that fertilizer and food, the cost of fertilizer and food because of all of this is going to skyrocket this fall. And of course, America will be hit, but, you know, a lot of the third world countries, poorer countries, will be severely affected by this. There's a lot of reports out saying, you know, a couple hundred million, up to 700 million people could be starving this fall because of this. I mean, it's just a no-win situation for anyone as long as Trump does not make a decision on whether he's going to go all in or whether he's going to pull out and lick his wounds.
There is another, you know, kind of man-made global famine, COVID-19, and the mass migration that resulted from that. And people look at the Biden time period. You can't just look at the giant caravans of people coming to our border in a vacuum, right? And this is what I see the war as, is kind of an economic COVID. What would just, this is also so terrifying, but we have to do it here. How easy would it be logistically, militarily, for one of these powers, United States, Israel, to create one of these false flags?
Oh, I mean, extremely easy. Israel's been doing this since, you know, let's go back to USS Liberty, when Israel attacked USS Liberty and blamed it on that. You had the Marine barracks bombing, you know, where Israel withheld intelligence from the U.S. and a couple hundred Marines died, if not more, in that bombing attack. But then, you know, what Israel's done, and I think they're the masters at, again, a lot of people don't like to hear this, but October 7th. You know, same concept. You know, Israel will sacrifice our people and their own people, like 9/11. I mean, we all know, and I've heard your dad talk about this many times, Israel's involvement and, you know, in 9/11. But when you look at October 7th, they were given, Israel was warned by Egyptian intelligence and multiple other Middle Eastern intelligence entities that Hamas was going to do an attack. You know, they pulled their troops out of the area of the attack that Hamas was attacking the day before. You know, it took them somewhere between 6 to 20 hours, depending on the area, to even respond to the Hamas attack. And, you know, and that country's the size of New Jersey. A special operations, you know, air unit can be anywhere in the country within 10 minutes, just based on their base it's set up, right? So you have a country where everyone's armed, everyone gets trained to go into the military, except for the ultra-Orthodox. They have one of the most advanced border detection systems in the world, border fence security systems. And then they have the Iron Dome. And then you have Hamas flying in there and flying V formation like the Mighty Ducks and hang gliders, you know, and, you know.
Charlie Kirk said it. And that's the reality. This isn't like, this is very basic. Anyone who has been there, who reports on being there, reports the same thing. You can, this is what he said. You can't go anywhere on the border without running into an 18-year-old with a machine gun. It's just impossible.
100%. 100%. And then not only that, the cameras, the detection systems, the early warning radars, everything that they have, you are not getting into Israel. It's just a fact. You're just not getting into Israel. There is no way that they did not allow that to happen, in my opinion, just based on what I know about their security, their military, their capabilities, you know, and they let people suffer and die, again, in a country the size of New Jersey for about 6 to 20 hours, depending on the area, after Hamas initially attacked. And when you have a military that's been given all the advanced equipment, the advanced training, and everything by the U.S., and they'll not be able to handle a terrorist group and hang gliders, you just got to be kidding me. So again, there's, you know, when you look at what Israel will do, again, they'll kill their own people. They'll kill our people to pull us into, you know, the war with Iraq initially with 2001 9/11 attack. And then you have the October 7th to justify the genocide in Gaza. So God forbid that they, you know, blow up a U.S. battleship or, you know, excuse me, destroyer, aircraft carrier, something, do something catastrophic to the U.S. Navy that's out there in the Strait of Hormuz, blame it on Iran. And the next thing you know, the American people see an American ship burning in the Strait. And, you know, now we're full on ground invasion. They have every justification they need to destroy Iran. But the thing I think Americans really need to start thinking about is what does winning this Iran war, winning, right? This Iran war do for the United States of America. What does it do for our economy? What does it do for our security, American safety? What does the Iran war strategically do for the United States that is worth the potential of losing hundreds of thousands of U.S. troops' lives? And no one can answer that question. It only benefits Israel. And to go back to what we talked a couple of days ago, their Greater Israel Project, Pax Judaica, and them securing, you know, the oil in the Middle East with the Abraham's Accord and creating the Israeli super state.
It's really crazy to see a Zionist occupied government to this degree where it's just out there in the open. I mean, Trump openly wages war for them to a degree where he says, well, after this, I'll just go be prime minister of Israel. Imagine if any country our president was saying that about. It's just wild, right?
They call him Mashiach ben Yosef in Israel now.
Break it down.
And I think a lot of people haven't really looked into that. So in Jewish prophecy, now this is the more extreme Jewish prophecy. You can't really call it Zionist prophecy, but I would say Talmudic Kabbalah prophecy, people who follow the more extreme versions of Judaism. They believe that Mashiach ben Yosef or Messiah ben Joseph, depending, you know, in the English version, he's like the hype man Messiah. And they compare him to basically say that he's going to be someone who's a builder, someone that's very experienced in building and construction. And then also he commands a great military. That's what their prophecy says, right? And they also say that his right ear will be pierced by God to designate him as the Messiah, right? So a lot of Israelis started to believe when that, you know, shooting happened, you know, on Trump back, you know, during the campaign. Actually, that was the first time I was on your dad's show. He played the video. He didn't have me on, but he played my video breaking that down because I was a sniper as well. And when you see that right ear piercing to a lot of, you know, the more radical rabbi Zionist prophecy Israelis, they believe that that was Trump's designation as Mashiach ben Yosef. And that as a builder, he would be the one to build the third temple. But before that, he would use his great military to secure greater Israel for Israel. and that he's going to be like that hype man Messiah, and that he will do all the things necessary to lay the prophetic foundation and the physical foundation for the actual Jewish Messiah to rise to power. And Trump's made, kind of comments alluding to that. They openly talk about it in Israel. Now, again, this is prophecy. It's not conspiracy, but a lot of Israelis believe this.
Wow. And do you think Trump believes it himself, maybe?
I mean, I can't speak for Trump, but just can you look at the way he's been acting, right?
And
I've seen just a man not by his words, but by his behavior, by his actions. And, Trump's been talking about himself almost like a god. The people around Trump, I forget the lady's name, Paula something,
the
blonde-haired lady. Paula White, yeah, she talks about Trump as he's God, like he speaks for God. Like she says that she cannot go against Trump because he carries the word of God, right? And so you have people in his camp treating him like he's a god. You have Jews treating him like he's the Messiah. And then you have all these crazy, comments and things that Trump has made. I mean, let's go back to, remember when he posted the picture on Truth Social of him looking like Jesus and everybody lost their mind?
Pull it up, crew. Go ahead.
Yeah. And then he came up and then he said that, I was trying to be a doctor.
Right. And he's healing Epstein. He's healing Epstein.
Yeah, 100%. It's wild. But if you look in the, there's so much symbology in this one. So if you look at the top of that picture, you see a little bit of Luciferian symbology where it almost looks like, Bahamut.
Mm.
Instead of an angel, right? So you can take that as an angel wings on a soldier, or you can say, okay, that looks like a little image of Bahamut's head, right? Or ball. So, there's just a lot of weird things going on, in this photo. And, obviously the guy.
It was also edited. It was also edited. The first one just had like soldiers in the back, kind of like angelic or like ethereal soldiers. And it changed to the headless demon creature. Indeed.
Right. And then he posted the edited one. And then he said, I made a mistake. But, like they said, they're calling him the King of Israel, the Messiah. They're calling him all kinds of things. And, again, it kind of ties back into this, prophetic, talks and things that have been happening in the military, saying that they're going to, bring back the Messiah and fight for the Holy Lands and all these things. So, man, we live in some really weird times, and sometimes I almost feel crazy for saying it out loud, but they do, and they are, and they believe it. And, it's
kind of the point. It's kind of the point. You have to be as bad as you can be to get away with it. And I think that's what a lot of them realize. And I think that's what Netanyahu's personal calculation is. I mean, think about the people that are going to replace him are going to be 10 times worse. Guaranteed. But what do you think his personal interests are, as in, like, what does he want out of all this? Is he truly, like you say, like, it's kind of like he's working an apocalypse plan just because that's what, like, they want, also what he might want as well? Or do you think he's got kind of a grand strategy to stay out of prison irregardless? What do you think?
I mean, probably a little bit of both, right? So if you look on Netanyahu's side, right, he's being charged for all kinds of crimes inside of Israel. But as long as he keeps Israel at war, they can't, take him to trial. And Trump has been a big proponent of them dropping the charges against Netanyahu. They just destabilized the International Criminal Court, right? And the judge, I believe, that, put the charges against Netanyahu, Rubio,
yes,
openly admitted to being a part of unseating that judge. So you're seeing a lot of the things that Trump would fall into camp with Netanyahu on, for as far as war crimes and the people that would be against them. You're seeing a lot of those people being publicly taken down, right? And I think they're sending, again, another sign to anyone that would then step up in anyone's place and dare try to charge them for war crimes, dare try to charge them for, the things they're doing. I mean, I haven't even kept up with this, but I know there's a lot of people now that are starting to investigate all of the insider trading between Trump and his sons, during his presidency.
Yes.
And the billions of dollars that they've been making. So there's just crimes on top of crimes, not to mention the Epstein files, right? And how many times that, he is mentioned in there. And, man, I just feel like we're watching a leadership that's completely hijacked, completely compromised. They know it. They know we all know it, or everyone that's awake knows it. And they're just getting away with murder while they can. And at the end of the day, who's going to hold them accountable? You know, all the generals that disagreed with Trump on the war with Iran and, you know, the chiefs of staff and everybody else, they all quit. They're all gone already, and they fired everyone else. You know, so now you have nothing but yes men left in the military. I mean, the obvious fact of that is that there's so many people involved in the decision to drop that bomb, like we talked about last time on that you know, girls' school.
Right.
Those were just nothing but yes men. They openly, admittedly, and willingly committed war crimes, you know, for an unlawful order. And so, you know, that to me is the most scary precedent ever, because I tried to think about putting myself back in those shoes. If I was sitting in that fire cell, and if I was the JTAC who would be given the order to tell that plane or that attacking entity cleared hot, would I do that? Well, could I consciously say that knowing that those bombs were headed to a school full of little girls? And I couldn't, you know, I never got put in that situation during my career. We didn't do things like that. But just thinking about the fact that someone in our military has to sleep at night knowing that they're the ones who followed an unlawful order to commit war crimes and killed children. And that, I think that's just a sign of where this country's at, that there's no depth that we won't go to in order to accomplish this objective. So again, all the way back to the Strait of Hormuz, it's a dog and pony show. It's a gaslighting show. They know they didn't have nuclear weapons. The people are sick of hearing about nuclear weapons. We know they're not there. Now they're just stirring the pot and they're just waiting for something bad to happen. And something bad is going to happen. There's just too much tension, too many countries involved, too much money at stake, and it can't go on forever. So they have to get to, in my opinion, a situation that would lead into full-scale Iranian invasion, because at the end of the day, that's what Israel wants. That's what Israel has to have for them to be able to create greater Israel. They cannot do that with Iran standing in their way.
Right. I think it really is all, when it comes down to it, like, how do they sleep at night? How do people deal with this? It comes down to the appeal of authority. Right. It's like, well, you know, President Trump, the commander in chief, he told me to do it. And if he says it might have been Iran, it might have been Iran, even if I dropped the bomb. I think that's the level of cognitive dissonance you have to have. I think that's totally achievable with enough programming, brainwashing, whatever. I think that's the situation we find ourselves in. We got like 2 minutes left. What do you think?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's definitely a possibility. But, you know, when you look at how our military is trained, right, it's indoctrination in the first place, right? You know, when I joined the military, I had a Toby Keith song playing in the background, you know, I'm going to put a boot up somebody's ass, you know, red, white, and blue, you know, just patriotic. And I get in, and then, you know, when I end up in Sadr City, Iraq, and, you know, I'm kicking cans waiting for one of them to blow up because I'm walking in front of the truck because the truck's more valuable than me, you know, that's really when the wake-up call, you know, kind of went off on. I get it. War is war, and the military is military. But once you're in, you're indoctrinated. And depending on what your job's going to be, you know, whether you're just a boot or an infantry guy, a grunt, you know, a Marine that's on the ground who just does what it's told and puts the lotions on its skin. It doesn't ask questions, you know, all the way up to a special operator or an intelligence analyst or agent. I mean, there's so many different levels of indoctrination and also so many different levels of, you know, I would say compartmentalization and classification, right? So the higher up you get, those decisions, those detrimental decisions are usually made, you know, in entities that are outside of, you know, the conventional laws, you know, law of war, outside of conventional Geneva Convention things. And they utilize some of those types of people to do some very dark things. You know, I mean, we all know that a lot of our CIA is compromised by other countries, mostly Israel, right? There's departments in our own intelligence agencies that are not loyal to the United States of America.
Absolutely. And powerful information. You know? Thank you so much, Matt Murphy. We'll see you soon. Thank you so much for joining us on War Room Live. People listening, follow him, Matt_Murphy_23. You were on Instagram, very big on Instagram, and we're trying to build up your X account. Go follow him right now at Matt_Murphy_23. Thank you so much. We'll be right back after this break.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do, they want to silence you,
is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system. Even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Keep your hand on your gun. Don't you trust anyone.
That's right. We're an armed broadcast here. We believe in the Second Amendment. I've been arguing for gun ownership and Pro 2A stuff really since I was a little kid. I've got videos of me running around in Joseph A. Banks suit, you know, harassing adults, trying to get them to support fake gun control legislation to show how little they knew about firearms. Of course, that's always the key thing people don't get. People don't understand. They watch a Hollywood movie. They watch something like Heat, where there's like a, well, I guess even in Heat, they're reloading and doing a good job. They watch one of these major productions where it's essentially like a infinite mag dump, infinite ammo, GTA, like up, down, left, right type of hack. That's not the reality of guns. And I'm going to showcase something here because it's not entirely, I want to give this guy his flowers, of course, a heroic bystander who, of course, used his firearm to help stop a gunman shooting rampage at an Idaho In-N-Out, this man right here, but he also didn't hit the guy. He didn't hit the guy he was firing at. But here's the thing. The reason why I bring all this up, Americans need to understand the reality of firearm ownership. If you're not a firearm owner, if you don't train with your gun, if you don't own your gun, if you don't know how to use your gun to protect you and your family, you are essentially at the mercy of violent, insane hoodlums who roam the streets and cities of various places around the country 24/7. And the reality of this story, and this is what the heroic bystander says, Jordan Salinas, 35 years old, this is what he said. The gunman seemed unusually comfortable aiming that rifle at those cars. As soon as this, as some rounds started coming back at him, everything changed. All that bravado immediately crumbled. Yeah, because it's a really stupid idea to get in a shootout with somebody. And in the world of the internet and the video game and the Fortnite lobby where you can just, you know, virtually in a video game, you know, just kind of mag dump or do whatever, people have become unaware that, hey, if you become a mass murdering psycho, people are going to shoot back at you. They're going to stop you from doing what you're doing, and hopefully they'll kill you. Hopefully, if you're a sick little freak who goes out there with a long gun to go hurt innocent civilians, innocent people in America, innocent citizens not doing anything wrong, you deserve to get killed like a dog in the street because that's what you are. And this is why in my bio, I say I'm pro-death penalty. I'm a death penalty advocate. Tell me how many pedophiles, tell me how many mass shooters, tell me how many murderers, assassins, rapists, how many of these people do we have to pay $140,000 on? Like, that's the state tax. You know, each prisoner costs that much money, around like over $100,000 a year. We're doing that to keep the worst people in the country alive? What? But then they'll throw you in jail for 20 years for some minor drug violation? Are you kidding me? Like, here's the thing. If you let people do the most heinous things in the country 24/7 and get away with it, like that guy that stabbed Irina Zarutska, the Ukrainian immigrant woman on the train, that guy had like 19 prior convictions. Pull up his rap sheet. Pull up the rap sheet of the guy that did that horrific murder, right, who claims to be schizophrenic, really demon-possessed. We all know the truth about that. This guy shouldn't have been out on the street, all right? Now, you can say, oh, well, the system tried. The system tried accountability. He needs a social worker. He needs a therapist. Oh, he needs a social worker? He needs a therapist? How about 50 years in prison after your third or fifth violent offense? How about that? How about you can't go punch people in the face, you can't go commit armed robbery, can't murder people, and then go, oh, I'm schizophrenic, I get away with the crime. Look at her, she's dying right there. She's literally dying right there. And we live in a society that allows for people like this to walk the street, that allows for people like that to bump into you and your children as you cross the road. And because our government, now look at that, this is the guy's criminal record, 14 prior arrests, 5-year prison sentence for robbery with a dangerous weapon. 5 years? How about 25 years? How about that? That'd be a nice start. It's unbelievable. The idea that somebody can run up to you with a gun to try to take everything you have, including your life, because that's what they're willing to do, using that gun, using that weapon. I hate that footage of the blood. It's disgusting. Someone can do that, and then, oh, this is a good boy, this is a good girl. They get 5 years in jail. It is what it is. We'll reform them. Of course, the person whose life they just destroyed, the person whose property they just stole, the person they just killed, that's irrelevant. Oh, hey, maybe they didn't kill him. Maybe they just beat him up, left him alive. That's not so bad, right? This is how you get the road to hell. It's paved with good intentions. And when you have some, like, fat 55-year-old white lady up there who believes in, like, libtard hillbot politics, and she sees somebody that's a violent, dangerous, deranged criminal, she's not going to hold them accountable. He's not going to hold them accountable if it's a male judge. Don't want to discriminate there. They're just going to let them go because it's the boomer "We Are the World" commercial. You know, it's like, we are the world, we demographically replace all our countries because liberal and good. We destroy our cities and close all the asylums and let the criminals roam the street because we're liberal. Like, that's literally, like, they get off on it. And it's a humiliation ritual for the rest of us. It's a literal pain ritual for the rest of us. It's a sacrifice of our future simply because they're not brave enough, they're not strong enough in their morals to enforce a law. Because they have no morals, they don't care.
If you support a war, if you'd support reckless American spending, then sure, why not support insane liberal criminal justice policy? Well, why not? Because, hey, we don't want to go to jail now, do we? That's the whole reason why Trump's not prosecuting Fauci. That's the whole reason why Trump's not going after Biden, is because if he did, he would be vulnerable on the same offenses. And ultimately, the judges, they're criminals. They're all corrupt, in my opinion. That's my speculation, not making any claim about anyone we mentioned. All right. My speculation is that they're all corrupt, and they're corrupt to a degree where they just don't care. So in that world, the only protection, the only recourse is yourself training, getting a high-quality rifle, getting a high-quality shotgun, getting a high-quality handgun, and really making sure you know how to use it and you know that you are prepared. I'm going to read this. Footage of the event. This is that In-N-Out shooting that was stopped by the armed civilian that I'm reading here. Captured by a witness, showed Williams firing into a Tesla EV near a supercharger before attempting to run from the scene. Three people were killed and two others were injured in a shootout or a shooting near an In-N-Out in Twin Falls, Idaho. The shooter reportedly targeted Tesla vehicles. We got an Elon hate crime here at the nearby supercharger. The suspect has been confirmed dead. I guess the cops killed him. Our thoughts are with the victims, their loved ones, and everyone else. And that's the thing. When you look at the situation, it could have been a lot worse. Could have been a dozen people killed. Could have been a dozen people murdered. It wasn't, because even though they were inefficient and kind of did a bad job by not killing the guy immediately, like I would have shot him in the head because I would have been defending people. They prevented the threat. They ultimately led to the police resolving the problem. And that's the thing. Are you going to defend innocent lives? Are you going to get your concealed carry permit? Are you going to do the firearms training that you know you need to do to defend your community? Are you going to be a responsible citizen? Are you going to be a good guy with a gun? Let me give you an anecdote from back in the day just to show you how long I've been doing this. When I was 10 years old, I did a report on gun control that's now lost to the annals of history. That was back in 2012. And in 2012, Obama commissioned the CDC, I think in 2011, to write a report on guns as a public health issue. Right. And you can look at the COVID programming and all of that from back in the day. Like they try to make things a medical issue so they can institute total draconian government control because, oh, it's a disease. Gun violence is a disease. What they found was, I believe the number at the time, 37,000 gun deaths a year. I think 73% of that, if I'm getting the stats right, I mean, it's been 10 years, so I barely remember, but I do remember. I think 73% of that was gang related and or suicide. Everything else was in that other percentage, and the vast majority of it was handgun crime, not mass shootings. Take a guess, take a gander, just at home, just shout out a number when I say this. How many defensive uses of a firearm were displayed in that same study? In direct contrast, the CDC laid that out as a point. How many? 500,000 to 3 million defensive uses of a firearm every single year. That's the math on that. That's why we have the Second Amendment. Of course, for the government and the tyranny and all that, but really because it is a vital utility. It is a life-saving option. It's emergency rescue equipment. This is like keeping a defibrillator. This is like keeping a, an emergency supply of nitroglycerin if everyone was always about to have like a heart attack or something. Like this is, if you need it and you don't have it, you are screwed. Completely and totally screwed. And the old saying is, you'd rather be a soldier in the garden than a gardener in a war. Right. That makes a little bit more sense. And it might be a little uncomfortable to get more prepared, more awake, more alert, do more training. You have to do it. And the time to do it is now. Take advantage of the, it sounds crazy, the lull and the peace and the prosperity that we currently have. We won't have it forever. So I just think that's a key highlight to do. I would just say everyone, including myself, needs to train more. This guy, again, they didn't hit the guy, but that was enough. Just the display of the firearm and the exchange there was enough to make the gunmen cower and run away and flee in terror. So a little bit of a white pill there. Get a little angel hat for you today. Thank you. Appreciate that. His name again. So bad at names. His name again, Jordan Salinas. So I wanted to cover that. And you make no mistake, the gun control issue will be at the forefront, front and center in 2028 and beyond. The argument that will be made, and this is the real problem, one of the real problems with the Iran war and our insane geopolitical policy, also the same problem with supporting Ukraine. The Republicans use their political capital to do wars. This is ultimately why I'm not calling myself a Republican and why I disavow Trump. I consider him to be disgusting, and I spit on him, in fact. Like, here's the thing. They take us to war after lying about it. They are a pro-war party. It is what they do. We give them political capital. It's like, hey, I got a grocery list. I'm going to write my grocery list really quick. Low tax. Anti-trust. So breaking up lobbyist stuff. Anti-war. No more neocons. No more. And what am I going to say here? No more. No more government waste. No more corruption. So we look at this list here, and you go to the grocery store, or you're supposed to go to the grocery store. Trump didn't go to the grocery store. He went to the liquor store. He went to the liquor store, and he spent the $100 we gave him to spend on, you know, meat and potatoes, essential groceries, essential nutrients that we needed to survive. He spent it on Jim Beam. He spent it on Grey Goose. He spent it on Tito's. He spent it on the wine cooler. He spent it on the moonshine. He spent it on the Japanese whiskey. Anything but low tax, antitrust, anti-war, no more neocons, no more government waste, and no more corruption. Anything but that. That's too simple and too easy and too good to do. We have to use this insane political capital. Keep in mind, they didn't just get it in a vacuum. We shattered the Democratic Party for them. We shattered it. We completely shattered it. It was the alternative media that did that, not just once, but twice, against Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, and against Hillary Clinton. And the first time, you know, here's the thing. Trump didn't start any new wars. We had Trump lose a bunch of money. We had Trump lose $2.2 billion. We had the Russia thing constantly, the hoax constantly, the attacks, indictments constantly. He was attacked. He was under pressure. He was under siege. It's not necessarily fair to ask for the sun, the moon, and the stars in the first term. See how fair I am? I supported him in 2024. I don't like having to do this. This isn't fun for me. I don't enjoy it. I'm not like all of you that started doing this 5 years ago. I was the person that got my dad to support Donald Trump. Okay? And I'm sitting here telling you this. I'm sitting here telling you this. And to get back to what I was saying, in the first term, we see the loss. We see what he has to sacrifice. We see him not even get anything done, which is the true example of the sacrifice. Is really the best you could ever expect for, is gridlock at a maximum with the establishment two-party system controlling everything. What happens now? What happens now when he comes back? $3.2 billion, okay, in companies allied with his sons involved in defense spending, defense contracting. Because when you spend over $100 billion in just over a month, the money is not real anymore. The money is not worth anything anymore. It's soon literally true. They just say, oh, I'm Scott Bessent. I'm just going to write here and take a photo of it and put it on Twitter. And people are going to see that we're going to buy, or we're going to put $10 billion into the Japanese yen. We're just going to do that because we decide we're going to do that. Oh, wait, you sitting there, we don't get $10 billion. When do we get $10 billion, $100 billion? That doesn't happen for us because we're not the priority. This guy's worried about collapsing other countries' economies, okay? He's not worried about you or me. And eventually he's worried about taking what you got too, because anywhere they can do wealth extraction, they will do it. And that is the modern geopolitical reality. I want to go to clip number 6, which is Ted Cruz claiming the communists and Islamists, they want to cancel Thanksgiving and Christmas and establish Sharia law in America. Well, who's making that possible? Who's generating support for these crackpots? Certainly no reasonable American would support one of these crazy Democrats when the amazing Chad, awesome Republicans are there for him, right? Go ahead and play it. I got to take on this.
Is that where the energy is? They want to cancel Thanksgiving?
They're crazy enough, yes. They want to cancel Thanksgiving. They want to cancel Christmas. Look, these communists hate America. They hate capitalism. El Sayed is also an Islamist, as is Mamdani. And look, you see the green-red convergence where the communists and the Islamists, they want Sharia law. They hate Jews, they hate Christians, they hate capitalism, they hate America. All of this is coming together in a way that is really a toxic, toxic stew.
All the buzzwords, all the fear-mongering, all the fear porn, all designed to funnel you into the cattle chute like a good little goyim to go to the polls. The reality is, Ted, where were we at in 2024? I'm sorry. Did Trump win the popular vote? I think he did. Did Trump win record numbers of young black and brown Americans? Yes, he did. Did Trump win just record numbers of young American men in general? Yes, he did. Well, why was that? Was it because the Democrats saw his neck and neck, but Trump really convinced him at the end? No, Joe Biden literally melted down computer 404 error code on live TV, and they had the Indian lady, who's not even black, Kamala Harris, pretend to be running against Trump. And then she got obliterated as well. I stopped myself from making a really nasty joke. I'll just give myself a little pause here. So you have the complete shattering of the Democratic Party. How did the Republicans get to a point where they're so terrified and concerned of the Islamist jihadi communists taking over? You know, things are going to be so great with the economic recovery and with the end of all the evil policy and the end of the neocon. Whoa, we can't do that. We got allies in Israel. We got security interests. We got to do it. Israel's going to attack. We feared American soldiers would die in retaliation. So we had to do it. Only 24, 48 hours. They literally told you this was only going to last 2 days. That's how much they disrespect you. That's how much they don't care about what you think. When he says right there, when he makes the comment of the Muzzies are coming to take over your country or whatever, he has done that to you himself. He has done. It's so sick. We have 15 times the Muslim immigration post 9/11 than pre. And all the time we're supposed to be doing this war on terror to, you know, stop this threat. Well, that doesn't make much sense now, does it? You're literally, Netanyahu wants us to take all the Palestinians. He'll never take them. He's not interested in that. But we get to do it. We get to do it after being used as the engine to start all these conflicts and all these wars. And we got a little sneaky Sneeko there. Sneeko blocked me, which is just honestly a punk-ass move to do. Like, I'm not a big deal. I'm nobody. You make me somebody by blocking me, which is crazy. I am so glad I don't have to exist in, like, the minor leagues kingdom of, like, the internet streamer people. People go, oh, no cop, bro. You danced around in the club to Heil Hitler and use a B word. I can't curse on the live radio. Well, here, how are you going to dance around and say N-word Heil Hitler, which I'll absolutely say on my morning show any time of the week because I'm a free speech absolutist. How are you going to do that and then cape and pretend you're Malcolm X / King of Mom? How exactly does that work? And when you're running around doing throat slitting motions in the street, when you're running around chanting, getting people riled up very openly. All right. Myron Gaines's brother has called you out on this. Muslim Lantern has commented on what you've done. Literally establishment people that do Islam apologetics, Muslim apologetics have called out Sneeko for what he's a grifter. He's a grifter. He's like an eight to every ethnicity. He can't decide what his identity is. He had like the coolest friends in the world and the craziest relationships. And he gave it all away to go marry somebody in a beekeeper outfit in Saudi Arabia. And it's just like, I don't get it. I don't understand. I kind of have like a Greek mythological history to myself. Sneeko is kind of somebody that appeared on the internet. It's a bit different for me. Like I have something that I'm tied to a little bit. That would be my dad, of course, and the origin of my skills. But for somebody that builds their platform and does all these things, you got to pick a lane. You're either Messi, you're either Malcolm X, you're either Dr. Umar, you're either Uthman. You got to pick one. So that's what I'm calling for there. And the whole reason why this ideology is growing in the West, to Sneeko's credit and Sneeko's point, is because when you call out genocide and you name it for what it is and you say it's going on, you say it's a reality, you instantly have more credibility than somebody that says it's not real. So everybody that's fear-mongered about Sneeko and blah, 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 whatever, we poke fun on the network. We have a good time on the network. For everybody that's poked fun at Mr. Sneaky Sneeko there with his little hijab, you know, he's trans as well. Everyone's poked fun at him. It's not a real problem. You know, and he doesn't have the real problem. And I think that's what makes people that are actually Muslim angry and upset about it, is he's not representative of them. So let's go ahead and get off that topic and into the next one. Iran set to emerge with more Hormuz leverage than before with the war under draft U.S.-Oman deal. And we're going to be covering this and more with Michael Yon here in the next hour. We'll look forward to that. President Trump said late Tuesday that talks with Iran are moving along very nicely in a highly fluid and ambiguous situation where it appears the two sides are only interacting indirectly at best.
But the Iranian side has continued to insist that there are currently no peace or ceasefire talks happening, but only the Iran-Oman negotiations, which focus on reopening the strait, which was open before the war. We closed it, just reminding everybody, in setting terms of how it will be managed. Consistent with this narrative, Al Jazeera freshly cites Iran's state broadcaster with reports that talks between Iran and Oman over the Strait of Hormuz have nothing to do with the U.S. See, we just lie over and over and again, over and over again. But Washington is presenting it as a U.S.-Oman deal for the Strait's reopening, even if it fundamentally remains an Iranian-Omani proposal. Here's the thing. You give people like Sneeko a position when you do insane stuff like this. The reality is, when you're calling out what's going on in the Middle East versus trying to cover it up or deny it, you don't really have a leg to stand on. I'm going to be joined by a geopolitical expert, analyst, special forces operator as well, combat journalist Michael Yon, here in the next segment. But I want to tell you guys right now about thealexjonesstore.com. We have an amazing product. It's called Methylene Blue, bioactive metabolic. You should check it out. Read the studies on it. Talk to your doctor about it. Google Scholar, PubMed, any kind of AI search engine you're going to type it into. Learn about this ingredient. It's very powerful. Over 80% reorder rate for a reason. We also have products made especially to go in line with mitochondrial health in general. That's going to be the Power Plant and Methyl Drive. Power Plant, Methyl Drive, super incredible, super important. For people that are older, people that have experienced a lot of like senescent cell, a lot of toxicity, inflammation over the course of their life, here's what you got to keep in mind. As you get older, as you age, you build up senescent cells. And as you have more senescent cells, it's where the random pains come from, because it's inflammation, stress, stuff like that. It all collects over time. You can take certain adaptogens, you can take certain metabolics, you can take certain things to hopefully attenuate some of that and give us a longer health span, which means, you know, just like a more active, healthy life. That's what things like cordyceps and Rhodiola roja are known for. A lot of the time, people don't understand that you just need a little bit of a boost to get yourself out of a rut. That's what Power Plant represents to me. I really, really enjoy using that product personally. I've been getting back in the gym, been working out a lot, been taking Power Plant when I do alongside the Methyl Drive. We also have the Methylene Red, which is available at discount at thealexjonesstore.com, combined with the powerful t-shirts, powerful apparel, hats, you name it, water filtration, you name it. Sign up today and get 50% off that Ultra Methylene Red. We got hats, hoodies, and t-shirts, 40% off, limited time offers. Here's the thing. You sign up, become a VIP. You get all these points over time. You really help contribute to the operation, help us stay on air. We do not get to turn on the power without you. We do not get to come sit in the studio without you. If you think we're doing good broadcasts and doing good shows, I need you right now to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Find a product for yourself. Find a product for a loved one, a friend, a family member, a coworker. Get your Christmas shopping out of the way. Got a birthday coming up in a month, 2 months, 3 months. Go ahead and go to thealexjonesstore.com. I guarantee there's going to be something for you. How do you not get the shower filter? It's got a happy little frog friend on it. It's going to filter your water. It's going to remove over 99% of the chlorine. It's going to remove over 94% of the lead. We've got that available for you. You've got the tank system as well. I have been selling water filters since I was 8 years old. I've been selling water filtration since I was 8 years old, and we have the limited edition straight frog shower head available for you at thealexjonesstore.com. Turn that camera on. Turn those lights on. Turn the mic on. Give us the energy we need to win this information war at thealexjonesstore.com. The powerful Michael Yon joins me in the third hour.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about Methylene Blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does Methylene Blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, Methylene Blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of Methylene Blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life.
Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look, vodka, potato hooch.
Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow! The methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back. Third hour of the War Room, being joined by lead geopolitical analyst, special forces operator, combat journalist Michael Yawn, expert on HOP. What is that, you might ask? Human osmotic pressure. That's also known as mass migration. We see this all around the world over various crises. I was just talking with my last guest, Matt Murphy, former Green Beret intelligence expert, about COVID and about the caravans during that time period. You have been literally all over the world, been to the Darien Gap. You've been literally to this area in Spain, Morocco, in that area where all this is just occurring. Michael Yawn, what's your take?
Right. I mean, what's happening in Morocco right now is something. I went there 5 years ago with Chuck Colton. I think I left from Panama. I don't recall, but we went to a few places like Spain and then went to Morocco and then back to Spain and flew up to Lithuania looking at the same thing. But Morocco, let's talk about Morocco. Morocco is important. Now, 5 years ago, Chuck Colton and I were there warning about it, saying, you know, I think they're going to end up going for Ceuta and Melilla, right? And keep in mind, Ceuta, or some people call it Ceuta, is a Spanish enclave in Morocco. And the Portuguese first took it in 1415, right? Prince Henry the Navigator and all that. It's very important, actually, history. But in any case, so now Morocco. Why Morocco? I mean, Ceuta or Ceuta is one of the pillars of Hercules, right? It's right by the Strait of Gibraltar. I mean, the Strait of Gibraltar is, you know, important. You know, it's very important. So the Strait of Gibraltar is one of the key straits on planet Earth, one of the top seven, right? And also Morocco has about 70% of the world's phosphate. And so there's many other reasons why Morocco is a strategic place. By the way, Morocco was the first country to recognize the United States as the United States in 1777. It was for trade purposes, but the United States has had good relations with Morocco the whole time, right? But in any case, Morocco is key, and the Strait of Gibraltar is right there, huge amounts of phosphate and other goodies. And so that's important. And so in Morocco, actually, and it works very closely with Israel. Now, keep in mind, Morocco is another one of those battlegrounds between the Zionist and the Chinese Communist Party. The Chinese Communist Party and the Zionists are both fighting over places like Argentina, Panama, Morocco, Thailand. A lot of Thais actually disagree. They say that's not happening, but they're wrong. There actually is happening in Thailand. And other Thais actually see it. But in any case, the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, and the Zionists are fighting in all over the place. And I think one of the things that people will become aware of in the future is that the Zionists is trying to put the Chinese Communist Party into famine, which will actually put Japan into famine, which is where I'm at right now. Wow. Put a lot of people into famine.
I want to break.
So Strait of Malacca will be another target.
I want to break that down, the global reality of the food crisis, because it's not just oil that's being blocked through the Strait of Hormuz, also vital things like fertilizer, other food products as well. Helium is another example for that modern world. Everything, literally TV, 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 camera, 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 everything in this room, it requires, you know, the high power, high processing chips, and you can't make those without the helium. There's other ingredients, other things that are important that people don't even consider. We're going to talk about all of that after this upcoming break with Michael Yon. Really appreciate him joining me. I do want to talk to him about the latest agreement or talks of an agreement between Iran and Oman. I do want to talk to him about what he believes is going on in the Caspian Sea as well, and the possibility of the Russians taking further ground and or seizing Odessa. We're going to be covering all of that and much more, and I want to take your calls. So for the last segment of this third hour, I'm going to take your calls starting at the 35-minute mark. I want to hear your predictions on World War III. And if you have questions for Michael Yon after this break, please, during this break, share this feed. People need to know what you know. Share it with friends, family, loved ones, coworkers, you name it. It is not a weird thing to be into all this stuff because it's the real world, it's real life, and we're all going to die if we don't stop it. You must understand that simple fact. We got to stop World War III. How do we do that? Make everyone aware of it. Michael Yon, Rex Jones, after this break.
Ladies and gentlemen, Big Lee has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
We're back live. The War Room, third hour, geopolitical expert, strategist, combat veteran, combat journalist as well. Michael Yon joins me. Recovering the waterfront. We're taking your calls in the next segment. But I want to continue to touch on this because we only had that 5-minute segment there. We're talking about, how do you pronounce the name of the town? Kuleta? How do you say it?
Some people call it, I call it Ceuta, which is what a lot of people call it, and others call it Quetta, but Ceuta is what I call it, and that's what a lot of people call it, Ceuta, okay. Right? So it's spelled C-E-U-T-A, Ceuta, right? And it's one of the pillars of Hercules. It's right there at the Strait of Gibraltar. It's been, I mean, the Portuguese took it in 1415. That's how important it is, you know? And so about 225 or so years later, Spain went for it, and now it's Spanish. And so, and it's still very important. And if you're going to take the Strait of Gibraltar, you're going to take Ceuta, right? And you're going to, and keep in mind, the fight between the Zionists, or let's say Jews actually in Spain is very, very old, very old. I mean, I've got one of the old books here from, Benjamin Netanyahu's father. It's about the Inquisition in the 1500s, right? It's the Spanish Inquisition in the 1500s written by Benjamin Netanyahu's father, right? So, I mean, this is an old fight. So they're fighting each other, but it's about routes and resources. Remember, every war that we ever talk about is going to be about routes, resources, and ideology. And the ideology is about, that's it. That's the book right there. I've got it right here. So that's the, that Netanyahu is actually, his actual name when he wrote it was Maliakovsky, but they changed his name. So, changed his name in the 1920s. But in any case, these old, stories are still alive. And it, because remember the routes and the resources do change. Like nobody was using lithium in huge amounts 500 years ago, right? And helium wasn't even identified back then, and it wasn't used back then. But so the specific resources change, and some, and the specific routes also change. Like, for instance, with, you know, Suez opened in 1869 and Panama in 1914, and many of the pipelines are new. But the general forces there, routes, resources, and ideology, those don't change. And so that's what this is all about, routes, resources, and ideology.
Yeah, and it's not about some sort of like grand moral thing about, oh, we got to stop the nuclear weapon. That's not why this war is going on, is it?
No. No, nothing to do with that. Zero. This is about control of the world. So if we just go to the end state, and what are the main oligarchical structures trying to achieve? Two of them that are trying to achieve world domination are the Chinese Communist Party, which they're clear about working towards world domination. They don't hide it. And the Zionists are clear about it as well. But those two tectonic plates, oligarchical tectonic plates, are, you know, they run head on to each other. And so we're in the middle of all their earthquakes. And so the Zionists are, they've got certain advantages and disadvantages, and China's the same. Like, Chinese have larger numbers of people. And the Zionists have better placement inside of the heads of Americans, for instance, with, having huge amounts of, you know, Christian Zionists, which is the way I was born, or raised, let's say, and, who are all behind, no matter what, you gotta defend Israel, you know, which is, Israel is actually just a formation that was, you know, made, they used the Zionist cult actually to take Israel. And keep in mind, when you bring this up, people say, are you saying that the Jews don't have a right to a homeland? Well, what's that got to do with Argentina? You know, what's that got to do with Panama? I mean, the Zionists don't confine themselves to making a homeland for the Jews. That the Israel, or let's say Palestine, actually taking Palestine, that was a huge British op. They were trying to get control of the Suez Canal and other routes and resources in that area, right? So, you know, taking Palestine and using the Zionist cult to do it and forming the Zion. Keep in mind, Zionist doesn't mean Jew. Most of the Zionists are Christian. I got the Scofield Bible right over there. I just had it on my desk yesterday, and the Scofield Bible was all about making Zionists, and so the Zionist cult has subheadings. It has, some are Jewish, some are atheist, some are Christian, most are Christian actually, some are Muslims. A lot of Muslims are actually Zionists, believe it or not. A lot of Kurds are Zionists. I've spent a lot of time with Kurds, so it's not like Zionist does not mean Judaism. They conflate that. You've been through this many times. I know your dad has talked about it many times.
Right. And, well, really, but, really quick.
So, but that is a cult that was, you know, you can make a cult like a key to a lock, right? If you need to get something done and you need human resources to do it, because human resources are the number one resource. If you need the human resources to do it, one way to get those human resources, if you can't hire them, is just make a cult, right? One problem with cults is they often get out of hand. So you make the puppet, and then the puppet might, you know, end up eating you, right? So these sorts of things are normal when making cults. And there you go, Jim Jones. I've read several books on that. You know, I studied cults for about 3.5 years, and after 9/11, I did a lift and shift from my studies, and I started studying cults, and I tracked down all kinds of cults. And one cult I actually lived with in California, and I tracked down these cannibals in India and Nepal and different places. And so I learned a great deal about cults. And one of the things I learned about cults is nobody ever sees the cult that they're in. Another thing is that cults will do anything, and I mean anything. They will put death jabs in their baby and put it on Instagram. They will sacrifice their first son or whatever, or all of their sons and daughters. It doesn't matter. Cults will feed babies to crocodiles in the Sundarbans in Bangladesh, right? There's nothing that they won't do. I've been to the Sundarbans, by the way. It's quite an interesting place. But in any case, cults can be created. Creation of cults is both an art and a, I don't know if we're still online. Did it?
No, you're good. We're with you. Yeah, art and science. Get into it.
Looks like we knocked offline.
No, you're with me.
Oh, okay. It looks like
I got you.
Because I see that the clock stopped and whatnot, and the screen stopped. Okay, so the creation of cults can spontaneously form, like, for instance, ship cults. In other words, like, somebody may sail from, you know, let's say it's 200 years ago, and people jump in a ship from Rotterdam and they're heading off to, I don't know, Batavia or something, and a cult can form on that ship. So cults can, personality cults, people that are, just around a personality. Often those cults are just about somebody's megalomania, or they want to make money or that sort of thing. And then there's other cults on a more grand scale, like communism, and those sorts of cults, let's say Antifa, that was made a little Antifa cult. I was out with those Antifa guys quite a lot. They've got their own cult going, which was designed for purpose, right? Black Lives Matter cult, right? So, you know, so there's many cults can be formed, and they can be disassembled as well. And the Zionist cult was formed, largely by British and some Jews, but Zionists immediately started killing Jews, and Zionists and Jews have been killing each other ever since. But the Zionists were working later. The Zionists came first, but the Zionists and the Nazis ended up teaming up in Germany to get Jews to go over to Palestine.
It's part of the deal.
Take Palestine.
That's history. People don't know about that. Tell them.
Right. And it's straight up part of the deal. And then a lot of Zionists and Nazis moved to Argentina together, right? I mean, they live down there together now. Literally live there together now. And so the Zionists and the Nazis were hand in glove, because the Zionists were working to get Jews. The Zionists were doing huge terrorism against Jews. This is well documented by Jews, right? You can look up old newspaper articles. You'll have no problem finding them where Jewish partisans capture Zionists and kill them all, or Zionists kill Jews, because they're trying to push them down to Palestine, because it's about routes and resources. It doesn't have anything to do with the homeland for the Jews. I mean, when, you know, Einstein wrote that letter in what, 1948, he's warning about the Zionists. Zionists wanted to meet with him. He refused to meet with him. And, you know, that sort of thing. I mean,
Can I ask you a question about this really quick? Because I'm drawing a conclusion from what you just said. I want to ask you about your opinion on this. I wrote this down. It's a sick evolution on American Manifest Destiny. They're going to have a true global empire. Just like Israel's our real 51st state, they're going to have an Argentina, they're going to have a Cyprus, they're going to have a Thailand, like that. That seems to be the agenda to me. How do you think about that? What do you think about that?
No, that's obviously what they're doing. For instance, the place, you know, like the Trump's taking Sazam Island. And if you look where that is, I mean, that's strategically placed. If you look at the place where the Israelis are going in Thailand, they're going to Koh Tao, Koh Phangan, and Koh Samui, which I've spent more than 3 months on those islands in particular. I used to have an office in Thailand, but they're also taking a place called Pai, which is where the Japanese were in World War II, right? Now, those three islands down in the Gulf of Thailand that I just mentioned, Koh Tao, Koh Phangan, and Koh Samui, those are not strategic now, but in the future they will be. When a corridor is built across the Kra Isthmus to bypass the Strait of Malacca, you know, and Al Johnson and I first went and did a recon of that in 2014 for this very reason. In 2014, we were down there studying this because we thought sooner or later Strait of Malacca will be interrupted, and Chinese and others are going to want a corridor across the Kra Isthmus. Now we're set to see Strait of Malacca get interrupted. Suddenly, those three islands where the Israelis are settling will be very important. And also there's a lot of energy in the Gulf of Thailand. I could go into that for hours, but let's lift and shift over to places like Cyprus and Sazan Island. These are all along strategic corridors, right? Look where Israel is, or taking out Gaza. Gaza, there's a huge amount of energy off of Gaza.
Yes.
And if you're going to build the Ben Gurion Canal, you need Gaza. You want that, right? So this is all part of, and by the way, building a canal through, the idea of building a canal through Israel or Palestine is nothing new. I mean, I've got an old French book about building canals across the three different recons for the Kra Isthmus in Thailand, or Siam at the time, 1867. But then I've got another old book from the British from 1857, I think. It's a British Navy captain. I've forgotten his name. It's an interesting book. But, he's had the idea of building the Dead Red Med Canal, which is from the Dead Sea to the Med, or from the Med to the Dead Sea to the Red Sea, right? So you could build a canal there, and that would be a bypass over to India, right? For the British. But they, you know, of course the French opened the Suez in 1869. So that put a nix on that. So they didn't need it anymore. But, you know, in World War One is not about Ferdinand getting shot. You know, that had nothing to do with that. It had to do with that, railway, the Berlin to Baghdad railway. It had to do with the Germans building that railway, you know, Ottoman Empire, all that stuff, right? Now, if the Germans had really succeeded with that railway, that would have been an arrow pointed right at the heart of the British Empire, you know, India, right?
Right.
So, I mean, so this is all about routes and resources and ideology.
All right, I want to ask a question based off that. What future routes and resources are going to be developed or are being developed right now? You can look at Lebanon and Syria as an example of trying to cut a corridor there. Your thoughts on that?
Notice that the only port working there are the ports are the Israelis, right? They've already knocked out Lebanon and Syria. And, you know, I mean, so that is forcing the energy, right? So the energy corridor will be through Israel, right? There you go. And so there you go with that very important corridor from India. But ultimately you'll end up with corridors through Israel as well. There's something that's not on that map is if they build the Ben Gurion Canal, that'll be right through Israel, right? And I think, you know, when that Ever Given ship was, you know, caught in the Suez, in recent years, that was not a coincidence. I think I'm guessing what they were doing was prodding the system and seeing what would happen when Suez is closed, but also, probably trying to gin up a lot more support to build the Ben Gurion Canal. So the Ben Gurion Canal is not the canal that I was talking about. That's not the Dead Med Red Canal. That was a different canal, but the Ben Gurion Canal will go right there from Aqaba, you know, through Israel and right out there through, you know, you need Gaza for that, right? So Israel is just vital terrain, just like Panama is, like Morocco is. And look at where they're placing their chips. The Zionists are wisely placing their chips. It's not about a homeland, right? They're, you know, Patagonia and all that stuff. Down in Argentina, I think you're going to end up, I mentioned this to you before. I think we're going to end up seeing a war eventually. I think down in Argentina, I think Argentina will go for Falklands eventually, you know, take that from the British, which I think they should easily do probably. We'll see. And I think that you'll eventually see a war between Argentina and Brazil. And I think that will be about putting Chinese into famine, because, you know, China gets a lot of their food from Brazil. And so if there is an interruption of the food and, you know, there's been floods and whatnot in Brazil, which is interrupting some of the food. But if you control the Panama Canal and you interrupt the other routes like Malacca and Sunda and Lombok and also going around the tip of South America down there and also the bioceanic corridor, Masako, my wife and I have gone down to look at the bioceanic corridor between, you know, Brazil and Paraguay and in Argentina and Chile, right? These things, looks like the internet's unstable, but these things, they're all, so you got the Zionists and the Chinese are fighting over these different routes and resources. They're fighting over them. It's invisible to most people, but it's not invisible to the people that are actually fighting these, right? So that's why you see the United States, going for the energy, destroying energy in places like Russia and food supply coming out of the Black Sea from Ukraine and Russia. You're going to end up seeing, I think, a war with Turkey and Israel, or let's say Turkey and the United States, obviously, and Turkey, say Egypt and the United States, you know, under the guise of protecting Israel, because the Suez Canal is there and the Nile is there, right? So I think you're going to see a lot of water infrastructure destroyed. I'm curious if we're going to end up seeing Mosul Dam destroyed at some point, maybe Aswan over in Egypt. We'll see, because this is clearly about population reduction as one of the main goals of the Zionist faction. Now, the Chinese Communist Party faction, they want the global population to be Han Chinese, speaking Mandarin, right? So that's in sharp contrast to what the Zionists want. You know, the Zionists don't want the world being Han Chinese and speaking Mandarin. So they're frenemies. The Chinese and the Zionists, they are frenemies, both dismantling the United States and Europe and other places. also fighting each other. So while they fight each other, they're also cooperating on fighting mutual enemies like us, because Zionists, us, they basically are a fungus in the American brain, and they're using the United States to destroy itself while furthering the goals of the Zionists. And the Chinese are trying to do the same, but when it comes to taking over the brain of the United States, definitely the Zionists have the upper hand at the moment. But the Zionists are doing so many insane, over-the-top, you know, Epstein Island death jabs, just genocide and rape and murder and celebrating it, that they're causing a lot of – they're losing a lot of their support base, which I think is causing a lot of panic in there. They realize that the clock is ticking on their support base, so they have to take us out as quickly as possible, which I think is what the draft – that, you know, I think we will end up having a draft at this rate, and that draft will – killing off Americans and Europeans, and then stuffing our uniforms with people who HIAS, the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, has helped come bring across the border.
Right.
And, you know, when I call Trump orange fungus, it upsets people, but he is orange fungus. I mean, he's part of the fungus. I mean, he's a Zionist, and that brain fungus is very effective.
Right. No, he's the swamp. He literally is the swamp. It's undeniable. We fight in other countries.
Right.
War.
So good.
No, we just fight in other countries' war openly. That's my only commentary on that. I want to read out the number really quick for people to join us in the next segment. I want to hear what you have to say on the national draft. I want to hear what you have to say on the possibility, it's already here, of World War III. I want to hear about what you think about what's going on in the Middle East right now. Call in 512-266-0642. Talk to me and really talk to Michael Yon, a true expert. Go ahead.
Freezing here.
Hello?
Freezing.
Okay, here, we'll go back to him in a minute. Call in 512-266-0642. That's 512-266-0642. I want to hear from you. We're going to be right back, but when you call in, you're going to get to the front of the line if you have a really key, important question. So talk to the people screening, 512-266-0642. I want to hear from you. Here's the thing. Everything that Michael has gone over is he didn't just start saying this. He's been saying this for quite some time. There's a number of people that have been saying this for quite some time. They just don't get listened to by the power structure, because the power structure is involved and wants all this to happen, right? So we have to be the change that we want to see, and this starts by everybody being aware of what's happening and nobody denying the reality anymore. Do we still have him? All right, we're going to reconnect to Michael. Michael is a far ways in Japan, where he lives, so... we'll be joining Michael very soon. I'm going to continue reading this article I was reading earlier on the closure and on Trump's commentary on it. Trump told Fox the White House is now having very good discussions with Iranian officials as part of an all-day negotiation. That's the Trump White House. And that the Strait of Hormuz reopening is going to be very soon. If they back out again, they're going to get hit really hard. We don't have the ability to do that. Michael Yon just went over all the vital choke points and really points of failure that are already huge problems and really make any possibility of winning a war or continuing a war untenable. He had said the same by close of last week. That's right, more threats. But by the weekend, reversed course and decided to refrain from attacking Iran again. That's what we call taco. That's what it means to chicken out. And that's honestly a good thing. Here's the thing. When I make these criticisms, if he leaves right now and goes home, I look like a moron, right? But I also don't, because he did genocide and war crime and supported it. So you guys, people that want to compromise, people that want to say anything less than getting us out right this second is enough. I don't really have a place in my heart for you anymore, because like we're going to hell in a handbasket here. Under the current proposal, ships entering the strait would use the channel closest to Iran, with Iran coordinating inbound traffic, while vessels leaving the strait would use the Omani side, with Muscat managing outbound traffic. The proposal also includes a service fee. They can't legally charge a toll. Tolls are illegal. Can't charge a toll. But you can do environmental fee, management fee, whatever language you want to use, with the revenue split between Iran and Oman. According to the source, the broad outlines have been largely agreed on, and with the remaining discussions focused on implementation and timing, Axios, that is the CIA, shout out to the feds, the spooks, reported something similar, in which the U.S. is nearing a Hormuz deal. Axios added there are no tolls or fees that would be charged during the 60-day period. Sounds a lot like the MOU, which we violated. And the parties would work on clearing naval mines from the median lane of the strait within 30 days. That involves the Europeans. As for the claim of no tolls, You got it right there. It's like, hey, it's an extortion. We're going to make it like a donation, and we have to acquiesce to that. We're not going to be able to stop them from charging that toll that's not a toll, just like we did the war that's not a war. It's also a war for 47 years. I'm Rex Jones, Rex Jones News on Twitter, Instagram. Please follow me there, Rex Jones News with the Z. Should be pretty easy to find. I do gray area talks in New American Journal. I've got a morning show and an evening show just for you. I'm looking forward to talking to you and Michael Yon in the next segment, but follow me there. Rex Jones News with the Z on Twitter, on Instagram. Literally, I'm doing like 30, 35 hours live a week. It's real level up time. Solo leveling. I'll see y'all soon.
Fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out of the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots, and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
The number to call in is 512-266-0642. Talk to me and Michael Yon right now about World War III, human osmotic pressure, mass migration, what's on your mind, 512-266-0642. We want to talk to you, 512-266-0642. While we wait for callers on the board, I want to ask you about this. If I can get an overhead shot, crew, please, Michael. Trump rejects Zelensky's request for more Patriot missiles. U.S. President Trump has reportedly rejected Zelensky's request for hundreds of additional Patriot interceptor missiles. Financial Times, has claimed, citing people familiar with the talks, the refusal comes to Washington, or as Washington has also cast doubt on plans to allow Ukraine to manufacture the weapons under license. They can't make these for years and years and years. They don't have the rare earth minerals to do it, and we don't have hundreds of Patriot missiles. They live in a fantasy world, dude. What? How? Still, what's your take?
Right. Well, the United States is being bled down. I mean, you know, keep in mind, the Zionists and the Chinese are clearly working as tag team to destroy us, even while they know that they're fighting each other. They're frenemies. We're straight up enemies. The United States is being bled down. China's going to go for Taiwan at some point. And speaking of information war, many people think that Taiwan is a breakaway province of China, but actually it never was. For 0 days was Formosa or Taiwan ever part of China. It just never was. I bet some smart guys recently, some months ago, we were on a joint interview. It was three of them and one of me, you know, all the highly educated guys, and they're talking about the breakaway province. And I said, okay, it never was, but irregardless, but they started doubling down. Yes, actually, they were saying Formosa was part of China. And I'm like, okay, I'll bet you $10,000. I'll bet you $10,000. Put your money where your mouth is. I don't care about your PhDs and all that nonsense. Let's get down to it. If Formosa was ever part of China, there would be a mountain of evidence taller than Mount Everest. It wouldn't take you 10 seconds to start digging into it, right? But, you know, so then I said, actually, let's change that bet from $10,000 to just 2 ounces of gold. Let's make it gold standard, right? But nobody has ever been able to collect that. You know, when I've said, if you ever see me betting somebody like an ounce of gold, bet on my side, because I already know the answer, right? Taiwan was never part, Formosa was never part of China, just never was. But that doesn't change the fact that China will probably take it. And keep in mind, the Israel works very closely. They're in Taiwan, right? And so anyway, this is all quite interesting. This is where I'm at now. Japan is also on the menu for China, big time. I spent a lot of time in China. I've written 3 books on this. Unfortunately, they're only in Japanese, but I've spent a lot of time in China and more than 20 years in Asia, actually, looking at this, for instance, that China, if they're going to go for Taiwan, they're going to go for Okinawa, right? You don't go for Taiwan without going for Okinawa. That's a package deal right there, right? And so this is big war. This is big stuff. So when we see these famines that unfold, they're going to disrupt governments all over the world. And it what's going to happen with China? I don't know. What's going to happen with Thailand? You know, and Thais often think, no, we've got so much food, nothing can happen to us, but actually it can. I've been warning Thais for years that even Thailand could go into famine. In fact, that would be key to putting others into famine, would be to take out countries like Thailand, to put Thailand into food problems, right? So, but in any case, this is a large war that's unfolding. And let me say one thing, by the way, before I came on with you, I was on with Redacted with, you know, Clayton and Natalie, right? And there started to be these funny things that popped up on the screen, which they said had never happened before. And then I came on with you and the signal got, you know, I had to restart and come back in. It's pretty interesting, isn't it?
It's critical information.
Anytime I talk about these things, it happens a lot. It happens a lot, right? When I start talking about these things and I get too close to the bone, something happens weird with the connections, or like I said, with Redacted, just right before I went on with you, they were getting these big pop-ups on the screen that they never had happen before. Fascinating, isn't it?
It is fascinating. It's because you're telling the truth. And we got callers on the board that want to talk about it. Let's go to Judy in Florida with a question for Michael. Getting out of Iran war, is it too late? I think we believe that it is. Judy, you're on the air.
Yeah, that's the major concern for me. And I have to say that it's an honor to speak with you, Mr. Yan. I have two jabbed kids. There's a lot of death that I've seen in customers that I have in my family or just debilitating illnesses. But, yeah, the straightforward question is there really a pathway out of this madness already, even though there is, like, a coalition that's forming with Joe Kent and Marjorie Taylor Greene on one side trying to form a new party or even the new Christian right that could be a pathway in a sane fashion to move to a constitutional government, to something that makes sense to everyone. What do you see in the cards?
Oh, and hello from Florida. I'm from Florida. I miss it. I grew up hunting alligators there, so literally. In any case, there's not going to be a path out of the Iran war. That's not what this is about. This is about population reduction. If Americans are going to do this, I was speaking with a friend yesterday that I used to babysit. Now he's a serious businessman and that sort of thing. And, you know, he was saying, you know, which side do we side with? You know, the Zionists or the Chinese? I'm like, how about neither one? We're Americans, you know? I mean, so it really comes down to we need to cut ties. We have to, I mean, it's very difficult to do because the Zionists are deeply in embedded into our system. I mean, they're in all the top intelligence and military and that sort of thing, business. So, I mean, this is deeply co-sanguinated, at a DNA level, like literally, right? So it's very serious. But they are clearly a huge component of those are dead set on destroying the United States. And they're open about it. I mean, Hias is bringing the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society is bringing people into the United States and taking them up to places like Minnesota and Michigan and helping them get into office, right? Helping, you know, the Iranians and others and Somalis and these sorts of things into the United States and Chinese. I mean, the Hias Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, their office in Darien Gap is, I mean, I almost leased their office, actually. It's right next to a camp called San Vicente Camp. I call it China Camp. And that camp, I call it China Camp because that's where most of the Chinese go through the Darien Gap. They stay in the camp that's operated in part by Hias, Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. And all these Iranians and others that come through, Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society is helping them invade the United States. So we have to cut ties with these people who pretend to be our, you know, the whole keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Well, we are their enemies. They treat us as enemies. They keep us closer so they can infect us and destroy the United States. That's exactly what's happening. We have to actually, this is long term. It's not going to happen in 5 years. It won't happen in 20 years. This is a process war. It's been a process to get to where we're at. But when it comes to the Iran war, though, by the way, that's just one battlefield, actually. The, you know, Ukraine and Russia and all that, that's the same war. So this is not meant to get out of. This is meant to bleed the United States down. This is meant to make us weaker and eventually destroy us and depopulate planet Earth.
Yeah, we got another caller on that. Thank you, Judy. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Dave in
Thanks,
California.
Judy.
Michael Yan, Putin, Russia, Castro. Dave, what's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going, you guys? So refreshing to talk to you guys today.
For sure.
I've really enjoyed, Michael, listening to you talk about routes and resources and ideology, and I think there's a lot of that. I hear all kinds of things, and I never hear people come up with the idea that maybe, just maybe, couldn't Putin really take Zelensky out if he wanted to? We could see a quarter in Moscow in the 80s with satellite, and this guy's all over the place and going to soccer and World Cup stuff. If you really think about it, Putin really wanted him out. If we really wanted Fidel Castro out, he, you know, when he would pull open his chest and act all excited, you know, I'm not afraid of anything. Maybe that could be something that's happening, you know. And Ukraine didn't want to be a part of NATO. They didn't want to be a part of Russia. It's a big farming place. They're getting rid of farmers and people. And maybe they're doing the same thing in Iran. Iran's not in any, I don't think, in the International Monetary Fund or any of that kind of stuff. Now, and the other thing that I think we need to think about is people are not defined by a flag. They're defined by individuals. And I think there could be Chinese people and different people around the world that are coming across the borders that are like, need to be interviewed. And we need to hear them say, yeah, they were tracking our cell phones and this is the only place we can come. You know, maybe some of them are good. Maybe some are trying to run from all that. But anyway, I want to hear what you guys think about that.
I think he's on, Dave, right?
Yes, sir.
I think he's on to something. I think you're on to something incredibly important. I think about it daily, actually. There seems to be another higher level to this, and in fact, there quite obviously is. The question is, how does that plumbing work? I don't actually understand how that plumbing works. But there is clearly, for instance, the war between Russia and Ukraine is clearly, taking both of those off of line, right? And there is actually Putin involved in a higher level of this, right? I mean, he met privately Trump.
Remember when he interviewed Tucker and he goes, we need global leaders. Remember when he told Tucker that? And Klaus Schwab's got pictures with him, Zelensky, Putin, Trump. He's got pictures. In Netanyahu's grandpa, I think, is originally from Russia. And how come all the Israel PMs are always from Ukraine over the years, for the prime ministers? Is there some kind of Russian or European or a pride of a heritage that is, you know, you pretend to say that you're Jewish, but it thou shalt not kill. There's rabbis in Israel so angry right now saying you are not making our people look good. You're hurting our people. And it makes you wonder that sometimes people wear masks to pretend to be somebody. And remember what Lenin said, you confuse your enemies for blaming them for what you're doing. And so
great point.
To really believe any world leaders, you know, Putin could be saying, hey, hey, hey. But if Putin wanted to take Zelensky out, we all know that guy would be done in seconds with the KGB and all that stuff. Everyone knows where everyone is through satellite and heat imagery and all that stuff. They've got to know all that, you know, but everyone's working in a concerted effort and realizing it's a banking empire and it routes resources and ideology. But I don't think we should. I think it would be really awesome to reach out to people in other countries because freedom is popular. You know, don't hurt people and don't steal their stuff. After that, you know, don't be gotcha. Did you get that email? What email? Oh, you don't check your emails. No, I do. You didn't check it today. We need to tell the gotcha people in our life, even if it's family, don't be gotcha. Don't be getting back at people. And when you do that, it start on that level. It could spread worldwide, and people could say, you know, I have a Chinese friend that I long jumped with in college, and on his thing, he has a picture saying all the laws that happen in China if you get pulled over. You lose your license for like 5 years for just, you know, running a red light, you know. He's being pretty brave to put himself out there, you know. And so anyway.
Beautiful call.
I think about this every night. We need to enjoy life. We need to rise above. We need to encourage people. It's not who wins the race and track. It's being out there and being beautiful. It's measurable. There's no politics, you know, and, you know, don't say, oh, I got to win, so I got to take this guy's knee out in football either. Don't be, you know, is the win important enough to hurt another person?
Well, when we get something over on our fellow citizen, we're put in a situation where we're a crab in the bucket and we're not really getting anything over anybody. We're just losing slightly less stuff. And that's the reality. And we got to stop, trying to attack each other and screw each other over and realize that if we have this world war that's already started, if it continues and escalates in the way that Michael, you've predicted and a lot of others have predicted as well, leading experts, we're not going to have a world. And like, that's what really matters.
Hear what race you
right.
are.
I mean,
they're broke right now. They don't. They're broke. The banks are broke, and it's just even going back to the Bible, usury and money change. Like Ron Paul said, 3,000 years ago, they were printing on mulberry bark. This game has been played before, you know. And they went to turn in their mulberry bark, and they said, "Sorry, that's just paper, you know, for gold or whatever." And Bob Marley, listen to Bob Marley talking about debasing their souls, debasing their gold. all these different people throughout time have talked about very libertarian ideas. The individual is important. You protect the individual, you protect everybody. Groups divide people. So it's just, I'm so passionate about this, and hearing you guys talk about this and be so brave, it's beautiful, and it's awesome. And I try and explain to people, explain the First, Second, and Third Amendment differently to people. Say it like this. Please, don't hurt me. Can I just say something first? Please, can I use my words? Then they're like, oh, shoot, that sounds. And then number two, please, you're not listening to me. I need to be able to protect myself. This is my family. This is my property. I don't want any problems. I don't want to shoot first. I don't want to hurt anybody. And like number four is like, can I just have my property and grow some food on here? The Amish are like, can we just grow food and be left alone? We know your system doesn't work. Why are you on our property with AKs because of raw milk? You know, it's crazy.
Totally agree. Phenomenal call, Michael. Just what he's saying there about the pro-humanity, pro-human future, where it really is the idea of groups dividing the population versus the rights of the individual. What do you think about that?
Right. I mean, well, on our local levels, that's very important, and I agree. On the larger levels, we've got a lot of predators out there, and they're not going to listen to that. They're going to go for it. I mean, they're clearly but on our local level, that's the way we need to treat our neighbors. That's the way we need to treat our families and our people around us and the people that we come in contact with. But again, we're facing predators, and those predators have to be addressed as predators. Otherwise, we're just going to be their victims, and they will show no mercy.
Right. And what's their pathway to doing that? What do you see? What's your prediction as we round out the war room today? What do you see next 4 weeks and 4 months?
Well, they're clearly, this is a process. So it's not like an event. We tend to frame things as events, like a football game or something. It has a start and an end, like sure. World War II, a start and an end. But in reality, this is huge, never ending process wars that are unfolding. And so what we're seeing is the never ending process of people trying to different oligarchical systems coming and going, like, you know, the Dutch East India Company is no longer master of the universe. The British East India Company, no longer master of the universe. People do come and go. But the game doesn't change. The fights over routes, resources, and ideology actually doesn't change. And, the weapons and that change and that sort of thing, and the actual resources and routes that we fight over change, but it always comes down to routes, resources, and ideology. And there is always some component of people that want to be king, and they'll do anything to achieve. I mean, they're addicted to power. It's just, it goes within, it's in some people's, it appears to be in their DNA or their upbringing or something. But when these people are out there, which is always, there's always people out there that will take your life for, you know, a penny or just for fun. And, right. and some of these death cults will do that, such as the Zionists. That's a clear death cult.
Right. And when you destroy a civilization, which is what they've done to the Palestinians, when you flatten their cities, when you tear up people's olive trees and demolish their homes, they've demolished, they say 20,000, other estimates say over 50,000 homes in Lebanon. You're not doing that, you know, even out of conquest necessarily. You're doing that out of like a mandate from heaven. It's beyond it's a political ideology that's married to a religious ideology. The only other one I can think of is Islam. Is that accurate?
I wouldn't say completely accurate, but it's largely accurate. But they're clearly enjoying their genocide. They're doing a Holocaust, right? I mean, they're doing a Holocaust. They've already done a Holocaust on Gaza, and they're doing it to Lebanon. They're going to do it to Jordan, I think, and they've been doing it to Syria. They will eventually go for Iraq. Iraq has already been devastated due to years of war. And by the way, you don't see phosphate flowing from Iraq anymore. That's another thing that took a long time that, like in 1991, the war in Iraq, and subsequent sanctions and the war and the later war in Iraq I was in, there's no phosphate flowing out of Iraq now. But I think you're going to see the Gulf states be taken offline one by one. I don't know when KSA, Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, places like could also be taken offline. That there have been attacks already on the desalinization there in Kuwait, which is a pretty big deal, right? And I think eventually you may see Mosul Dam get blown up in near Mosul, actually, which would be devastating for Iraq. So wow. this is a global genocide's unfolding, and it's taking a long time. It's a long process. It's not an event. There's no time limit. There's no start and stop point, and there's no rules. They don't play by any rules whatsoever, other than, you know, when they run out of ammunition, they're out of ammunition. That's the only rules they play by. Anything they can get away with, they'll get away with it. There's no right to privacy. There's nothing of that. You see, okay. You know, with these videos that you're showing, they're committing genocide.
Yeah, I want to ask about that because you say, like, they'll never stop, and I agree, unless they run out of bullets. What about the reality of the fuel problem? What about the diesel and the jet fuel? Are they going to have any sort of issue there? What are they going to have to do to continue their genocide?
Well, that, you know, that will lead us further down the road to famines, right? These fuel issues.
Right.
And so, you know, Catherine Austin Fitz sent me a Substack last night, actually, about the energy war. Some people will say that this is all a big energy war. My friend Matt Bracken has said that quite a few times. And Matt's very smart, and he's very accurate on some things on that. Yeah, he's super smart. I pay very close attention to him. But I think he's a little off. I think that the energy war is a subset of the larger war, which is about depopulation and world control, which Matt sees that, actually. But we just ascribe a little bit. He ascribes a little bit more weight to the energy part. To me, the energy part is a subcomponent, a huge subcomponent, but a subcomponent of the larger depopulation. And so to control basically planet Earth.
Right, and that works in tandem with the vaccine, that works in tandem with the coming AI, the mass surveillance, it's really already here. And if they can do it to the Palestinians, they can do it to you too, because you consent via proxy. That's what I believe. That's why I'm so anti-war. It's why I'm so against the Palestinian genocide. It's just, it's the worst thing in the 21st century that I've seen.
I'm going to use that, consent via proxy. I'm going to start using that. Yeah. I'm writing it down. Because that's exactly, you know, every once in a while you hear something, you're like, bingo, I need that. that's exactly
I've been saying
what
that
is. Consent via proxy. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been saying that.
And, because, you know, when people are like, this one little private chat group on, that I'm on, and or I'm pretty much PNG there, but somehow I'm still on their mailing list. And there's a bunch of Zionists on there and bragging about, like one of them yesterday, bragging about how his portfolio's up 40%. Of course, I ripped into him. And they won't take me off the mailing list, so I just disrupt their heart patterns by, you know, saying, look, and you're bragging about your portfolios. You are the worst filth on planet Earth. At the end of the day, right?
Right.
You're just bragging about killing everybody you can kill. It's all fun and games to you. But if anybody puts a scratch on you, it's like, oh, poor me. Professional victims are always predators. Anytime you meet a professional victim, that guy will stab you in the back the moment he gets the chance, and he'll enjoy it, right? And so there's actual cults that are based on professional victimhood, right? And there's quite a few of them, actually. And cults and cultures, some are based on being professional victims. You got to keep your arms distance from them. You should never hire them. Don't associate with them other than keeping your enemies closer, right? And because they'll come and get you.
Wow, powerful stuff. Where can people find you, Michael Yon?
On my Substack, Michael Yon, that's where I predicted openly that's my website there, but on my Substack, you'll see that's where I predicted in writing many of the things that you're seeing unfold now. In July of 2025, I predicted on my Substack that the Strait of Hormuz would be closed by Zionists and they'll blame it on the Iranians, which is exactly what happened. So that was over a year ago that I predicted that would happen. And then it did happen. And I think you're going to see Malacca closed. I think you'll end up eventually, I don't know when, a war between Argentina and Brazil and quite a few other things. Strait of Malacca closed, Sunda, Lombok, these sorts of things, Danish Strait. I think eventually we'll see a big fight over the North Sea and places like Rotterdam and Antwerp, Hamburg. You know, and these are places that Masako and I go and look at. You know, we were just up at the Danish Strait. We were just up at Hamburg and
Thank
over
you.
At Rotterdam and looking
Thank
at these things.
Thank you for the
things.
Powerful information. Michael Yon, find his Substack and X now.
X Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most, to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such the top rated, the biggest company, because they're the best, and he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started. Or give us a call at 720-605-3900. And let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price of the metal in the ground. Manufacturers, miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground. They dig their tunnels. They drive it to the refinery. They melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3 to 5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day what the price is. Type in what's wholesale gold and silver. And then you get it from them with a little processing fee. And then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. KPM.com/gold. Get a free telephone consultation email. You call 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.